Howdy, folks, and welcome to the 8-10-12 edition of Dead Pit Radio.
8-10-12.
I'm Uncle Bill.
And I'm the Creepy Kentuckian. How's everybody doing out there tonight? Where's Jess at? Where the fuck is Jess at?
Jess was going to do the show, but then she had to take a nap, so.
She's busy.
Yeah, that took Preston over.
She's always busy.
Yeah. It was going to be a long evening of taking naps for her, so.
She's busy napping, as most fuckers are busy bitching about how killer our show is.
Yeah. A lot of people do think that our show is killer. Did you know that?
They do. Yeah. And the few that don't are those haters going to hate.
Haters, they should participate, though. Everybody knows that you don't hate.
No.
You participate. You enjoy the fun and the joyousness that is Dead Pit Radio, and you don't try to drag us down because that never works out.
Well, what worked so perfectly
your advantage.
This last little time, and we're not even, you know, and I mentioned on the Midweek Obliteration that I was comparing them, like, they're Fila, we're Nike. They're not even fucking Fila, goddammit. They're Voight.
God.
They are Voight.
They're Puma.
Yeah. So, not really to dignify any of that with a response. All I'm going to say is there was or is a podcast that built their name by using our message board. And it's a fucking fact.
Yeah.
And this latest bullshit that happened, I basically started blasting us.
Put us on blast. Yeah. How are you going to put us on blast?
Yeah. When you've got, granted, a small fucking percentage of our audience, but you got our fucking audience, right?
I won't even say, though, that podcast did that, because really it was only one person did that. Everybody else has already talked
to us.
That
one person is the goddamn podcast.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought maybe there was more than one person.
Well, I never fucking listened to it, but yeah. And even more hilarious, some of the shit he was talking about, you know, on there. And then, like, you know, okay, the shit he was saying, you would think, okay, this is going to be a physically fit motherfucker making fun of me. He talked about Jess.
Right.
Yeah, Jess ain't going to listen to this, so it's good. Talked about Jess, weight issues with me and Jess. And this goddamn motherfucker, I swear to God, it's so fucking hilarious, okay? I figured the fucking shit he was talking, he looked like fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger or something. But no. That's just hilarious, Uncle Bill. That's fucking hilarious.
But listen.
We could never have even thought of shit.
No.
It's fun. I mean,
we don't really have to do anything on this show. I've come to figure that out. We really don't even have to, like, do anything because generally, anytime anybody starts shit with us, it all works itself out.
That's what I'm saying.
In some way or another, it always comes back.
It definitely did.
Yeah.
On the thread we were talking about, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Fucking anti-Islamic shit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's your fucking fans right there.
Oh, the only thing that really had to be done is you just had to keep these people talking long enough for other people to realize how fucking insane and, like, stupid that they were. And then once that people started to realize that, then they were like, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't be on this person's side because they're clearly fucking nuts.
Yeah.
And then
try to fucking cover it up by deleting every goddamn thing.
Well, that doesn't work.
You can't delete this shit. This is permanent, motherfuckers. Okay? Huh. This show's going to be up. We're not naming names. All we're saying is, you know, you're stupid. You're a piece of shit, basically.
Listen, we're trying to rise above hate here. We don't need...
Yeah. But the one exception, like we said on the Midweek Obliteration, are stupid people.
That's true.
And this motherfucker is clearly fucking stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not very bright.
For one thing, if you look like a fucking emo Eric Cartman, you have no business fucking making fun of anybody else's appearance. You got to be one of the goofiest motherfuckers I've ever fucking seen.
You're a broke-ass juggalo.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're like one of those cool motherfuckers you see in, like, a big city that thinks he's looking cool because he's got fucking, you know, some sort of designer, like, UFC fucking jacket on or something. Like, you're a tough guy. Yeah, basically go to hell. That's what I'm going to say.
You need to probably, if you do yourself a favor, quit running your mouth and start walking on a treadmill. That'd probably help you more than anything.
Yeah, or just quit running your mouth and, like, cut off your internet.
I don't think that would ever happen, though.
So, anyway,
like I said,
we always
though,
have interesting things to talk
like
about.
Like I said, we're trying to rise above the hate.
We are.
Because, you know, in the past, it's only been 6-7 years since we've been doing this show, we've had... I was sitting around, like, trying to figure out how many, like, different confrontational kind of things that we've had to deal with on this fucking show. And it's at least probably a dozen by now.
Yeah, and, like, the thing that pisses me off is, like, still people do not, I mean, there's some people that do not give us the benefit of the doubt over anything. Like, the whole thing that happened, you know, with the other dude, the old...
That's fucking old news. That guy...
That's old news.
Yeah.
But, like... I know there's people that go to Cinema Wasteland. I'm going to go ahead and say it, you know, because they didn't really have anything to do with it. And like, they know for a fact that all that shit, that was bullshit. That was bullshit. But yet they still take the other motherfucker's side, which is fine. But you know what? Like old Krispy Kreme says, best friends usually have each other's back. That's the way I look at it, or friends in general. So from now on, I don't give a fuck about any of you motherfuckers. That's all I'm going to say. Like, you know who you are.
Yeah, there is a small contingent of people that, for some reason, I guess it's just because of that show in particular. Like, they're really big fans of that show, and we're really not. They took the side of whoever was, like, associated with that show.
Regardless of all the shit that went on.
Yeah.
And, like, nobody, you know, us in particular, we never, ever named anybody in any of this shit. I mean, we brought up Cinema Wasteland just because that's what started that guy's insanity, pretty much.
Yeah, which I'm really starting to believe now that that whole thing was a work anyway. I don't think that ever even really happened. I think that was just an excuse to try to, like, do, like, to hurt our show, which, by the way, couldn't have backfired any more on that fucking guy already has, or any of those other people associated with it. So, once again, it's really, really not a good idea to fuck with us.
Probably not.
And you probably already know that by now, but it's just not.
Hillbilly Mafia, bitches.
Yeah.
So anyway, we do have an interesting show this week. I'm actually really excited about this show because it's something that we've never done. And I know that we're both, you know, since childhood, fans of this guy's movies, pretty much. We're going to be doing a two-part retrospective on Arnold Schwarzenegger's filmography.
Yeah.
So
there's probably going to be a lot of really bad, like, impersonations, and there'll be a lot of...
Yeah, we were watching, like, I don't know if you... Did you watch Total Recall last night?
Yes, of course, yeah.
It's the first time I'd seen it in a long time. And we'll talk about this more as time goes on, but I think that movie had to be the most... Like, if Arnold's really, like, straining or trying something, he, like, because there's a lot of Arnold screaming and shit in
my favorite part's where he gets, like, sucked out into Mars or whatever, and he's laying there, and his eyes are getting to pop out, and he's doing...
He looked like Large Marge, kind of.
Exactly.
Yeah, well... The effects in that movie have not aged well. I'll just say that, too.
No.
But anyway, we're going to be going through Arnold's entire filmography, at least the stuff that we've seen. And we've seen the majority of the stuff that he's done, actually, though. Because for a while there, like, I think the Holy Grail was Hercules in New York until we finally saw it. And then we never really wanted to see it again.
It's an awful fucking movie. But
But we'll be going through that. We actually have a new in-depth review, I guess, of the new Total Recall Blu-ray as well, which that'll kind of go together with what we're talking about.
It's the mind-bending edition.
Yeah. And,
why do they have to have an edition for everything?
Well, they have to call it, like, why can't it just be the fucking special edition?
Yeah.
Or the ultimate edition. But they come out with, like, you know, Sangster movies, the Holy Schnockies edition.
Yeah, the Don't like Call that. Me Shirley edition for fucking Airplane.
And we also have some news to get to, so, yeah, pretty, and fan questions as well, which I thought Jess was actually going to be here to do the mailbag, but no.
No, that ain't gonna happen, I don't think.
We should just never.
You were right.
We should just never listen to Jess again.
We probably shouldn't. But anyway, let's talk about The Shining. More specifically, the Shining prequel. Apparently, the Los Angeles Times is reporting that Warner Brothers Pictures is exploring the possibility of a prequel to The Shining, with writer-producer... What the fuck? Lottie...
Foreign dude.
Lottie Calagritis.
All right.
Calagritis?
All right.
Who did Shutter Island and Avatar, and her partners Bradley Fisher and James Vanderbilt producing the film.
I thought it was going to be James Vanderbeek.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
At this point, like, I know The Shining is kind of known as a classic film, but at the same time, isn't it also, like, what is it, 30, how old is it, 33?
Yeah.
About 33 years old?
Yeah.
So, I just don't know, I don't know how they could do it.
Well, we need a prequel of this, though.
Well, the thing is, too, though, The Shining is one of those movies that... Without Stanley Kubrick, I mean, a lot of people can say what they want to about, you know, Jack Nicholson. I thought the little boy did a good job in it. What was her name? Shelley
Duvall.
She's awful in it. I'll admit that. Okay. But, like, the star, in my opinion, of that movie was the director.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, like, there's no way you can make that movie again. But, man, like, you could say that for a lot of these movies, like these that they've done remakes of. You can't do that again. I'm assuming that the prequel would focus on the hotel instead of, like, Jack Nicholson's character. Well, because that wouldn't really make any sense.
It was the whole story of the twins and, like, the, right. You know, the bartender, whatever.
Which we really don't... I think that's part of the charm of the movie, though, is that you really don't need to know all that shit about it, what exactly the details of everything that happened to all those...
I don't know. I mean, the thing is, I look at this as something that if it gets made, it'll probably be one of those made-for-TV movies or something, direct to DVD, and it'll probably be just, you know, an afterthought after it comes out. Something else, though, that I'm really interested in seeing, because this guy, in my opinion, is the future... I mean, the present as well as the future in horror. The latest film from James Wan, who brought us Saw, Dead Silence, Death Sentence, more recently Insidious, is working on another film called The Conjuring, which is set to open in theaters on January the 25th, 2013. Scripted by Chad and Corey and Carrie Hayes. Juan's new supernatural thriller stars Patrick Wilson, Vera Farmiga, Ron Livingston, Lily Taylor, Mackenzie Foy, Joey King, Hayden McFarlane. God, it stars a lot of people, baby. But the film takes place in the 1970s and based on a book, based on the book House of Darkness, House of Light, the true story of Andrea Perrin. The 1970s, the Perrins lived in a Rhode Island home that was claimed to have been a portal for friendly and evil spirits. Livingston and Taylor will play a couple living in the home, which comes under investigation by Farmiga and Wilson's supernatural investigators, Lorraine and Ed Warren. So it's another one of those poltergeist-type movies, it looks like.
Now, here's why, like, I think I have a problem with this, though. This is the first movie where James Wan is basically doing the same thing that he did in the last movie, though. Because all the other movies, he just went from, like, one... idea to the next idea.
Well, kind of. I mean, Dead Silence is kind of, I mean, it's kind of a haunted ghost story.
Yeah, kind of. It was more like a fucking...
That's his thing, though, man. I mean, he's great at doing that, in my opinion.
Yeah, he is. I mean, I'm not going to say, because Insidious was definitely one of the better films I've ever seen in the theater in the last 10 years.
Well, I know there were rumors that Insidious 2, they were actually thinking about doing that as well, which... would be kind of easy to do, actually.
The Revenge of Insidious.
Yeah.
Yeah. They could do that pretty good. But James Wan, you're right, though. He is the guy that probably has the most potential to actually do something in the genre still.
Yeah, I think as far as just...
Eli Roth.
And oddly enough, like, the biggest hit that he had is my least favorite movie that he did was Saw.
Yeah.
I mean, even though the first Saw is actually way better than, like, the sequels.
It is, yeah.
It's one of those movies that's kind of like, you just don't care anymore. But speaking of which...
Oh, God, yeah. I was looking at this, I was like, what? Well, I didn't think it would happen this fucking fast, really, but apparently Lionsgate is mulling over how to return to the series of Saw. One option, they say, is to reboot it altogether. Another option is to a direct sequel to Saw 3D. A new Saw movie was being discussed immediately after the release of Saw 3D, naturally. And a reboot was a term kind of thrown around at that time too, and nobody really knows like if they're, which one they're going to do. But I guarantee they do something with it soon because it's rapidly like losing, like the horror genre is rapidly losing any kind of real interest or anything, and that was a big moneymaker for Lionsgate.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know though. I think the Saw movies, as far as like, I mean, what else? Here's my problem with the Saw movies. I mean, I got a lot of problems with it, but like the one big problem is they always tried to have them all kind of go together or make sense. And they never did anyway. So, I mean, or at least to me, like I was always confused as fuck at the end of the Saw movies. So, I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see with that. But, Scream Factory, they've actually announced the special features for the new Funhouse Blu-ray and DVD, which is coming out October the 16th, released in 1981. The film concerns four teenage friends who spend the night in a carnival funhouse and are stalked by a deformed man in a Frankenstein's monster mask. The Blu-ray features audio commentary with director Toby Hooper, moderated by Tim Sullivan. The Barker Speaks, an interview with actor Kevin Conway. Something Wicked This Way comes an all-new interview with executive producer Mark L. Lester. Carnival Music, an interview with composer John Beale. Audio interview with director William Finley. Deleted scenes, an original theatrical trailer, TV, and radio spots. It's going to be jam-packed, baby, full of fun, half good.
The one guy that I wish they would have interviewed on there was the guy that played the monster. What was his name? Dubba? Like something.
Yeah. William Dauber.
William Dauber or something like that.
Dauber.
He's actually really... Dirk Dauber.
Dirk Dauber.
He's really entertaining, though. Like, I saw him at a Q&A one time at a convention.
I think that was his only convention he ever did, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I mean, he
was
great.
So maybe that's why they didn't...
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they didn't get him. I don't know if they... Now, there is a Funhouse Blu-ray that was released in the UK, and they may have done an interview with him at that show. I'm not for sure, but... with that, though, I think we probably should take a break, Uncle Bill. We're almost 20 minutes into this show.
Shit, yeah, let's take a break.
Yeah, because we've got to have enough time to talk some more trunch about pieces of trunch.
Trunch.
From my eyes. Here on DeadPirate.com. You know what, Uncle Bill?
Shut your fucking mouth right now.
No. I want to talk about Fast Custom Shirts.
Holy shit. Well, let's talk about it.
FastCustomShirts.com provides some of the best horror t-shirts I have ever fucking seen.
I don't think that you can really fully appreciate how awesome the t-shirts are over at FastCustomShirts.com. Until you go over to FastCustomShirts.com and look for yourself.
Yeah. The Hitman T-Shirt Joe.
Mm-hmm.
The highest quality of shirts that I've actually designed some of them, Uncle Bill. He actually lets the fans design some of the shirts for his site. Who else does that? Who else?
Nobody I know of. But when he's not busy playing with Carmen Opsy, he's busy cranking out some of the most high quality fucking shirts that you're going to find this side of any other damn whore t-shirt maker.
Yeah. So check them out. FastCustomShirts.com. The best there is.
The best there was.
And the best there ever will be.
It's a boot respect. Come back to you live from the mothership at 7:05 Eastern Time.
We come back and we come on your mom's jaw. That's how we do it. And she likes it.
Your mom's like, what the fuck? Oh,
she,
God.
She likes to blow bubbles with her cup.
Oh, my Lord, somebody came on me.
because I said, oh, God.
She's just sitting in there right now, knitting or folding some clothes, and all of a sudden there's a big Peter in her mouth. Oh!
And the shark's like,
oh, Lord. I can't stand it.
That's salty.
God. Okay. You ready for some more news?
I'm ready.
One of my favorite movies, or my favorite, I guess, series of all time, actually, Basket Case 3, The Progeny, Frank Henlotter's threequel, made its debut on disc back in 2004 from 20th Century Fox. Synapse has picked up the title for reissue, which will street on October the 9th. So in this one, the third film in Frank Henlotter's macabre horror series, after being separated again from his conjoined twin brother, Dwayne, Belial finds out he's going to be a deformed daddy. Mrs. Belial delivers a litter of bouncing baby monsters. The event turns into a nightmarish ordeal when the police kidnap the little critters.
That's right.
That's actually the best part of the movie, when they go into the jail and everything.
Yeah, I always liked that movie, though.
All those movies are great.
Yeah, but I know people always, and I know Frank Henlotter's not the biggest fan of Part 3, because we talked to him about it, but, I mean, it's one of those deals where it's like, it's ridiculous, but it's entertaining.
But that's the thing I never could understand. Like, he's fine with Part 2, but he hates Part 3. It's like, Those movies are both
ridiculous. It's almost like Part 2 and 3 are the same damn movie. Mm-hmm. That's what I never could figure out. But
I don't know.
It is what it is.
Great movies.
You want to hear the latest on Rob Zombie? Yeah! I got to actually say this, though, too. With James Wan, I think that this guy, this movie will say, it will speak volumes. Okay? Lords of Salem, which he actually debuted a new festival poster, which actually looks a lot like some of those rock and roll, festival posters and stuff. I think it's like a blue, colorful blue color. It's making its premiere during the Toronto International Film Fest Midnight Madness program. The movie stars Meg Foster, Ernest Thomas, Jeff Daniel Phillips, Torsten Voges, Bruce Davison, Billy Drago, Richard Lynch. Actually, I think it might be Richard Lynch's last role. Lisa Marie, Maria Conchita. Is that Maria Conchita Alonso?
Yeah.
Ken Foree, Barbara Crampton. Oh, hell yeah. Babs. He's bringing Babs back. Michael Berryman, Sid Haig, Judy Geeson, Sherry Moon Zombie, of course. And Patricia Quinn starring the film, which is not a remake or sequel, and it's the first original Rob Zombie-directed film since The Devil's Rejects 2005, which was an amazing experience.
It really was. Is Patricia Quinn, who is that?
That's the Mighty Quinn.
I'm seriously thinking, I'm trying to figure out, because I know that name, if that's the chick from Rocky Horror Picture Show or not.
I think it is, yeah.
I think it is, too. Yeah. If so, that'd be the first thing I've ever seen her in since that movie came out.
What do you think? I mean, it's going to be, I'm really fucking interested in seeing what they do for Lords of Salem.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one where, like you said, this is the first movie he's done since that's been an original idea in years. Like, I'd be really curious to see how it turns out, because I've really hated the last 2-3 movies that he's done, if you include El Super Beast over
that wasn't
shit.
His, though. I don't think he made that.
So I would really like to see him get back to something that's a little bit more his style.
Yeah, maybe he'll release like he did The House of a Thousand Corpses. He did like a song, and he just called it The Lords of Salem.
Yeah.
We're all alone! Salem! Oh, yeah! Oh, girl!
Down your house and
you always notice the, your Rob Zombie songs are kind of structured like this. It's a really fast beat, you know, you got like some sort of disco shit going in the background, you know. And, like, the verse is like, I'm sucking dick, and I don't know what to do, cause I'm gonna suck on the quick and fuck. Lord of Salem, yeah! You know, that's how it is.
Yeah, that's exactly it, pretty much.
Songs are, you know, it's like, mumble jumble doodly doo.
Yeah, awesome throughout the song. He should just do it. Nobody would even know.
Mumbo jumbo doodly doo, yeah!
Oh.
Oh, hell.
Knick-knack, penny-whack, give another bowl, right, rock it out, turn!
You know, you can do like, the Reading Rainbow song of Rob Zombie.
How would that go exactly? Oh, God.
Take a look. It's in a book. It's a read a rainbow.
Read a rainbow.
I can see anything. Yeah. There you go.
Oh, God.
So, Lords of Salem, hey, you know, people say we're negative as shit. There's actually a couple movies on here I'm really looking forward to seeing.
And that's definitely one of them.
Yeah, that's definitely one.
So, well, that being said, that's all the news that's on
this.
That's
all the news we got. We actually have conventions this weekend, a couple really big ones in the same fucking city. Chicago, Flashback Weekend, which is a show that's been going on for about 10 years now, I think. They've got John Carpenter, Linda Blair, Tony Todd, oh God, by God. They've got a big Friday the 13th reunion with Adrian King, Amy Steele, Ted White, Adam Beck's mom, Kane Hodder, Dana Kimmel, and a whole lot more at that show. You got Wizard World, which is this
lineup for this show is fucking amazing.
Actually got some big-name wrestling acts. You got John Cena and CM Punk are both going to be there. And I think they're taking a photo ops together. Which, like, goddamn, like, I can only imagine how expensive that shit would be.
Yeah.
They've also got Bruce Campbell, Stan Lee, Scott Bakula, which I put him on here as kind of a joke.
Yeah,
Also appearing at the show, and I definitely wanted to pimp this guy's artwork because he does a great job. Raven Johnson goes by the name of Raven Jericho, Unsure88 on the board. He's going to be doing his first ever show as a vendor there, and he has some great artwork. He actually did the Creepshow Deadbeat artwork that you see at conventions and stuff. And he's done all kinds of shit, actually.
Yeah, he's a great artist.
Yeah.
And a good friend of the show, so we wish him the best at selling all of his wares.
Yeah, so go say hi. And he'll be at the Wizard World show, by the way. He'll be at
That's Black where Night. I would be, too, honestly, if I was going to.
I'd be at both. God damn it.
So, let's talk about some DVD and Blu-ray releases for August the 14th, which is one day before my birthday. Did you know my birthday's coming up next week? What'd you get me?
Nothing.
That hurts my feelings.
Oh.
I actually got you a jar of cum. I've been saving it since last year. I've been jacking off to it in, you know, 3 or 4 times a week.
It's a big pickle jar.
Putting it in the freezer so it stays fresh for you.
Man, that would be an awesome prank to do on somebody. Just fucking do that seriously and then give it to them.
Like, I wonder if you were actually jack off 3 or 4 times a week into a jar
you know,
for a year. Like, yeah. How much semen would that be?
I'd say it'd be quite a bit.
What you could do is, too, for, like, the day before, take it out of the freezer, and that way it's, like, nice and, like, fresh. By the time you just give it to them, it's like,
Here's what you could do. This would be fucking amazing. You just jerk off into an ice cube tray, right? Then you take little popsicle sticks and stick it in there and then freeze it.
Here you go.
Here's your semen lollipop.
Semen sickle.
That's a good summer treat for the kids. But anyway.
Anyway, Uncle Bill's hinting for you motherfuckers to send him
some
shit.
I need some stuff.
Yeah.
So, August 14th, though, the DVD and Blu-ray releases The Hunger Games, which I've yet to see is coming out on
Blu-ray. I think we're going to be getting that, but I'm not sure. We haven't got it yet.
Dexter, the 6th season is coming out
which
on
Blu-ray. Which I have, but I haven't seen the 5th season yet, so I'm going to have to fucking watch the 5th season somehow.
We'll never do that. Jaws, which we're both looking forward to a lot, is coming out on Blu-ray.
It's another one I think we should get.
Father's Day, the 4-disc limited. Man, I'm serious. I'm not reading Father's Day off his fucking list anymore.
I swear they change it every goddamn
week.
Did you
just put that on there again?
No!
It's like, what the fuck? I've read it at least 10 times.
They're getting that free publicity and shit.
And Kill List, which I have no earthly idea what the hell that
Kill
is.
Kill List is actually supposed to be really good. But
on Blu-ray. So there you go. That's your DVD and Blu-ray releases. I think it's all Blu-ray releases for fucking
Blu-ray and DVD. Yeah, so eat my ass. So what we're going to do right now, we're going to take it to a break, and then when we come back, we're going to be talking about Schwarzenegger.
That's right.
Deadpool.
.com. Hey, Uncle Bill!
Yeah! How you doing?
I'm good.
You know Dead Pit fans out there? Not a lot of them know about the midweek obliteration.
I thought everybody knew. It's the hottest thing going today.
You can go on Facebook,
Check it out on the Dead Pit Universe page. Brand new show almost every damn week. You can hear us bullshitting.
And in a historical first, there's a new member of Dead Pit. Jesco!
Hey, Jesco.
Hi.
You like joining in on the Midweek Obliteration every week? You like getting obliterated by two Eastern Kentuckians, don't you?
Lay it down with your sweet, sultry voice.
You obliterate all over my
you
face.
Know, yeah, you know you have a lot of guys that masturbate your voice on a weekly basis now.
Oh, God, it's just like, oh, it's just she, oh, she's so weird, my YouTube.
She's a girl. She likes homos. She's on Dead Pit. That's the perfect girl for me.
I'll just kind of eat a little bit of my pants.
How's that make you feel? You're now like a hillbilly sexual icon.
A hillbilly sexual icon?
Yeah.
Oh,
like
shit.
Goats and yeah. Sisters.
And you can hear all about it. Hey. I asked Jessica some of the nastiest shit known to man almost every week on the Midweek Obliteration, and she answers it, and she has respect for it, don't you?
What the fuck? She has respect for this question.
Yeah,
respect?
For me, yeah, telling her about what a blumpkin he is and all that.
Oh, good lord.
She's going to try that on Uncle Bill over there.
Ain't nobody touching me when I'm shitting. I don't give a damn what the reason is.
Even if I go in there and be like, hey.
I'll be like, get out. What are you doing? You crazy. Pull your dick out of the toilet. Give it to me. Oh, God.
Hear all that on the midweek.
Obliteration.
Yay.
Hello, folks.
Hi.
And welcome. We are discussing in depth, very in depth, isn't it right, Uncle Bill?
Probably not that in depth, no.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's filmography. And a lot of these movies we kind of grew up on, they would play them all the time on fucking TBS or HBO or whatever, you know, Cinemax, whatever it was. So, you know, I'm not going to say a lot of these movies, but some of these movies. Now, there's some that you have to be a kind of a hardcore Arnold fan to even get or to even want, for one thing. And we're just going to go from his beginnings and some of this stuff. Like, there's one movie that I'd like to see that he's never done, or he did in 76, called Stay Hungry, which I heard he actually won a Golden Globe for his performance in that movie, believe it or not. So
really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't even know that.
For like, I think it was for introductory performance or his first performance, even though his real first performance is in this movie we're going to be talking about.
God. So this man has had a hell of a long career in film and even longer career in bodybuilding, and everybody knows who he is. And so we'll just probably jump into the filmography of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, my.
So the first film that he made that anybody really knows about, he probably made a porno like Sylvester Stallone at some point in time. Nobody has it.
Nobody has it yet.
Is Hercules in New York, which is probably most notable for the fact that it was originally a dubbed film, because his accent was so thick, and I don't think he spoke very good English at that time either. You know, he comes from Austria, as everybody knows. So, this was kind of a weird kind of fantasy, Ray Harryhausen style kind of fucking film about Hercules deciding to visit Earth and in the physical presence of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, I've only seen this movie one time, but I remember we watched it. I think it was when we had one of our film fests down here or something. And this was one of the very early 588 movies. This is back when the DVDs were 588 at Walmart. And when I saw this thing at Walmart, I was like, holy shit. You know, because I remember in high school, somehow we were talking about this movie, making fun of it or something. I think one of our friends had seen it before. And originally, like, where Arnold's voice was so, you know, he couldn't speak English well, they originally had somebody else just do the voice for him on the movie. But this DVD is
fucking hilarious. By the way, I remember watching the dub version too, and it's like, hey guys.
But I think this is the first, you know, when that DVD came out, the first time you could actually watch with his original, you know, voice track or whatever. I just remember the movie looking like a fucking porno. Like
it was
generic.
It's like a grindhouse film is the way it looks,
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was cheap. I mean, I don't even know what in the hell the budget is. I know it was shot in, like, 1969. This was right after he won his first, I think, was it Mr. Universe or something like that?
Was it that early? Shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, this came out in 1970. It was filmed in 69. I think he won his first Mr. Universe in, like, 67 or 68. Or something like that.
Okay.
So, I mean, he was a really young guy at this point, you know, just still in his early 20s. And, you know, it's a shitty fucking movie. I mean, it's awful. Like,
it is.
There's really nothing, you know, unless you're watching it with the dubbed track, there's really nothing that interesting in the movie.
It's really like a horrible version of, like, Clash of the Titans. Like a Clash of Titans ripoff or a Jason the Argonauts ripoff like that, but just with no real, really good special effects and no real, like, plot or anything. It's just he comes to New York against, like, Zeus, who's his father or whatever, and fucking, I guess, hilarity and hijinks ensue throughout the film. Yeah. So there, that's Lord.
Yeah. So I guess the next one after that, would be the documentary that they did on him, Pumping Iron, Uncle Bill. What's your thoughts on Pumping Iron?
Actually, as a documentary, like, I really did think it was a good documentary about, like, weightlifting. And it's really because a lot of people probably don't know this, that documentary was originally supposed to be about Lou Ferrigno. Like,
right.
That was going to be the main focus of the... But somewhere along the way, I guess after he became a little bit more popular and started winning the Mr. Universe titles and all that stuff, it shifted to be more about Arnold than it did about Ferrigno. And you can see in this movie, like, the tension between those two fucking guys is amazing and hilarious, too, because, like, Arnold is constantly fucking taunting Lou Ferrigno throughout this whole movie and just, like, really seems to get under his skin in it, too. And, like, Lou Ferrigno's a huge guy anyway, but he really just seems almost childlike in the way that he acts about
the whole thing. Well, the movie, too, like, Arnold at this point was a veteran in the weightlifting game, I guess, and then Ferrigno was kind of new coming up, and Ferrigno kind of looked at him like, you know, kind of like an idol of his or something. That's one of the reasons he got into bodybuilding or wanted to get him to competitive bodybuilding or whatever. And Arnold's just kind of being a douche to him, you know. But the interesting thing about this, too, that I was reading about this movie is it was filmed in 77, but it didn't even come out until, like, 86, so it was almost 10 years later. So I don't know if that was just because Arnold was so popular at that time. They thought they could make some money on it or what. Because it's not really, I don't think it's a feature-length documentary. I think it's about like an hour or something. It's not really, I've got the DVD, but of course, it's not one that I watch regularly.
Yeah, I just thought it was really good, though. I mean, it basically just follows those two guys around about their routine and they're going to competitions and what they do. And I think the best part about that movie to me, the only part that I really vividly remember, because it's just so fucking bizarre, is after he wins the Mr. Universe title or whatever, he's just, like, laying on a couch with a shirt that says, like, I'm number one or something like that, and he's eating fried chicken and smoking weed. I remember that, like, clearly.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, come over here, Lou, and hit this. It's Lou's birthday, everybody. Look, look at him over there.
Happy
number two.
Birthday, Lou.
It's just, it's so surreal to watch that whole thing.
I remember when I was a kid, though, I thought Lou Ferrigno was like Italian. Like, I mean, I know he's part Italian, or, you know, his family's Italian.
Yeah.
But I thought he was like a foreigner because of his voice. But not until like years later, I realized like he's actually deaf.
Yeah.
So that's why he talks funny.
It's such a weird thing, though, to see like Arnold's career parallel beside of Lou Ferrigno's career, too, right. though. It's like, because basically, all Lou Ferrigno ever did was the Incredible Hulk, and that was it. Like, he just kind of disappeared off face of the earth.
Yeah. So.
But it was a good documentary. So, in 1979, did The Villain, which we haven't seen.
It was a Western, which I'd actually like to see it.
I would, too. In 1980, he was in a TV movie, The Jane Mansfield Story. But really, the next film that came along that actually has any consequence, and probably still one of, if not my favorite of any of his films, is Conan the Barbarian, which came out in 1982.
Yeah. I mean, it was the first, Conan the Barbarian was the first real movie, I think, that he did, as far as just, it was an epic movie that featured him. He didn't really... And the first Conan, he didn't really say hardly anything in the movie at all. So he just had to kind of speak with his, you know, visuals, I guess, you know, looks and stuff like that. And John Milas.
Oliver Stone.
The same guy that, you know, wrote Apocalypse Now and stuff. So he had, you know, he had a lot of, you know, big names in this movie, and it made it, you know, made it different than the other ones that he did at the time.
Yeah, the thing about it was, though, not only was it the writer, which, you know, Oliver Stone actually co-wrote the movie, which is, I mean, you got a lot of really talented people, like, writing this shit and directing it, too. But also, the music, man, like, that to me is one of the best things about this movie. First of all, the sets, the scenery, like, the locations, and the music were, like, the best thing. Basil Palidoris, I think was the guy's name, that wrote the music. Just, like, that fucking music, I could listen to that, like, right now. Like, you can listen to it any time. It's just, it's that old-style, classical kind of mixture of music that just goes throughout the film, and it's really, really great. And of course, like, James Earl Jones is the lead villain, and basically the movie is a revenge tale. That's the whole fucking movie, to be honest, because it starts out with him in a little village, and the village gets sacked by James Earl Jones and all of his henchmen and all that, and he watches his parents die in front of him, and then
he's basically a slave.
Yeah, he's taken as a slave. He grows up like really, really harsh. And like, but he grows into this huge guy who finally decides to like take revenge against him for doing all that, and just the kind of the adventures that come out of that too. And it's filmed amazing. It has amazing sets. It has just some of the best action sequences.
And like
and
of all the movies, and believe me, man, I mean, I like pretty much all of them. The one, you know, both of the Conan movies, and he did Red Sonja. We'll be talking about all that. This is the only one that really felt like it was something special, though.
Yeah, it
the
is.
The other ones...
It has a real, like, epic,
big
quality to it.
The other ones just seemed like, you know, okay, we're cashing in on the original success, and we're not, you know, I mean, we don't really have that much of a story to tell this time.
Yeah.
Know?
Well, and the weird thing is, both of them were financed by some of the De Laurentiis people, but the second one, the sequel, Conan the Destroyer, really looks like one of those type of movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
well,
and I mean, this one doesn't.
Yeah, I think Dino De Laurentiis, though, they, you know, early on, they actually did do some good stuff. Like, I think they were somehow involved in the original Superman movie, too, if I remember right. But, I don't know. I guess as time goes by, they'll be like, oh, yeah, we'll just do sequels of our, you know, previous franchises that did well, and we just won't put any money into them, you know.
Yeah. Just, though, had a really great cast, too, to be honest. You had Schwarzenegger, like I said, James Earl Jones. Sandal Bergman was his love interest in the film. Mako was the little dude that was like the sorcerer guy in the film. And Max von Sydow was his father in the film as well, which makes a brief appearance and shit in that. No, wait a minute. It wasn't his father. Yeah. He was the king in the film, too. Okay. That's right. Absolutely, though, one of the best, like, sword and sorcery kind of movies that ever came out, in my opinion.
I really love the ending of the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, just a really memorable, epic showdown.
Essentially, the beginning and the end are both classic, like, the way that they go down.
And this is that's actually out on Blu-ray now, which I don't have.
I've got both those on Blu-ray, actually.
And that looks good on Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. And the sound and everything is amazing, too, because, like I said, you really got to appreciate the soundtrack of that movie to appreciate the whole movie. I can't even really imagine what it would have been like without that music. I'm sure it wouldn't have been anywhere near as good either. But I can't say enough good things about Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah.
Still holds up.
As a kid, too, we know, I mean, nobody's going to admit this, but we know we all did this shit as kids. Fucking watch these movies and take like a fucking yardstick or something and make a sword out of it and act like you were fucking Conan. Everybody fucking did it.
Right. Or you could get, back when we were kids, you could get the He-Man swords, the plastic ones like.
And Thundercat swords.
Yeah.
So, directly after, I think the movie, the sequel came out in 84. And, what did the first Conan come out in 82, something like that? So,
yeah,
like 2 years
apart.
They decided to do a sequel, Conan the Destroyer. And, like, I've seen this movie I don't know how many times, but I don't really remember a fucking plot that much to the movie. It says on the back that they're asked by a queen to accompany the a beautiful princess to find a magic treasure. So I don't really remember. Do you remember that much about the plot?
Well, I remember the queen ends up getting kidnapped. And I think that Wilt Chamberlain has something to do with it, too. Like, isn't he somehow or another, like,
bodyguard or something?
Yeah, he's her bodyguard or something like that, and he turns on her or something and tries to do that.
He just had a weird fucking cast of people.
Oh, man, yeah. It had fucking Grace Jones and Wilt Chamberlain.
That little, I can't remember that little fucker's name, but he was in it, too. He always plays a little scummy motherfucker.
I know who you're talking about. The knife guy, the guy that had the knives and stuff. I don't remember his name either.
It's like, I mean, it's the prime example of, okay, the first movie was a success. Let's make another one.
Yeah.
Let's do another one. Because, like, it just doesn't, you know, I mean, I probably watched this, like, last time, probably 2 years ago or something. And I really couldn't believe how awful it was. I mean,
the weird thing about this movie, this is one of those movies where when I was a kid, I was obsessed with this movie. Like, I guess it was because it was probably the first one that I saw.
Yeah.
And so I was really like, I thought it was awesome. And then I went back and watched it and I realized it's not very awesome. As a matter of fact, the end of the movie where like he goes up against the final villain of the film and the way he ends up having to kill him is like through mirrors. He cuts him. I'm like, and when I was a kid, I thought, wow, that's fucking awesome. And then you go back and watch it. That's the dumbest shit, like, ever.
Yeah, there's a lot of movies that are like that. Like, you enjoy as a kid. And, like, looking back at it now, you can kind of say, wow, I mean, this is pretty damn bad, you know?
Yeah, it's just, nobody really could act in that movie. Like, the cast from the first one was great. Then you got Wilt Chamberlain and Grace Jones.
Grace Jones was like, Wilt Chamberlain looked like goddamn fucking Tom Hanks next to fucking Grace Jones. Like, I don't know who the fuck thought Grace Jones would be a good choice.
Everything about it is just not very good. Like, there's a couple of weird, like, drunk Arnold sequences in it, I remember, and, like, just, well, at least everybody has, like, a kind of a talent. Like, Grace Jones was the, like, had a staff, and she was good with the staff, and Conan had the sword, and the one guy had the knives. And then Wilt Chamberlain had, like, didn't he have, like, a giant, like, what would you call that
dong.
Damn thing? Yeah.
Yeah, that damn thing. Get a giant one.
He'd whack somebody in the head with it. Oh, God.
That was his weapon.
He hit me with his fucking nose.
I can tell you something else, though, too, that I think Don May Jr., I think Olivia Diabo, who was the princess
yeah.
in the movie, she actually still looks pretty much the same.
Really?
I don't know how the fuck, yeah. I mean, well, honestly, she's not even that old yet. I mean, I don't know how old she was in this movie. She was born in 69, so
yeah.
she would have been like, what, 16, this movie?
When that movie came out, yeah.
So, you know, she was definitely jailbaiting the movie, but she's fine now.
Hey, too late! So, what did Don May Jr. have to do with that?
I think they were at a convention, and he just took a photo of her and stuff.
Oh.
She was
Has there. She ever acted anything again, like, since...
Yeah, I think so. She was actually the older sister in The Wonder Years. You remember that?
Really?
Yeah, that was her. I did kind of remember that.
Shit, I'd forgotten all about that.
Like the, you know, the family. They had that little motherfucker that was in the Monster Squad. You had Fred Savage.
Yeah.
And she was the older sister.
Yeah. Well, shit.
I think she does a bunch of voice acting and stuff.
And then,
now.
Of course, Grace Jones is going to do Vamp. We all know how amazing that was.
Yeah. That was an amazing film. But
Will
you know
Chandler
what?
Would go on to do Every Woman in the World, apparently.
Yeah, one thing that I will say, though, about Conan the Destroyer that they did do well is the cinematography was great.
Yeah, it looked just as good. Yeah.
It still looked good. So.
It just wasn't... The story and everything wasn't good. The acting wasn't good. Everything about the first one that... Like,
yeah, it kind of looked like the first movie, but it just wasn't.
It wasn't executed very yeah. well, to say the least. So, the Conan movies, though, hold a special place in my heart. I can actually watch both of them at any time. It doesn't really matter to me. Like, I mean, I go back and watch the first one, of course, more, but the Destroyers, I can still get some fun out of it.
But the same year he actually made Conan the Destroyer, in 1984, he actually made a legendary movie and started, you know, a franchise that's still going today.
Yeah, unfortunately, Christian Bale fucking derailed it for a couple of years, but...
It's not his fault.
No, it's actually Mick G's fault, or whoever that guy's name is.
McGLT.
The Terminator. Everybody knows about the Terminator. I know
about it.
James Cameron pretty much couldn't have picked anybody better to play that role. That's one of those roles where you talk about the person being identified with that role for the rest of history. That's one of those perfect casting moves.
It really was. I honestly think, though, if Arnold hadn't been cast in that, like, I'm sure his career would be way fucking...
Yeah, that was
different.
The movie. That was the thing that, like, broke him into the mainstream.
He may very well be like Lou Ferrigno is now. I mean,
yeah, had that not come along, yeah. But the movie is pretty much known by everybody. I don't think you really have to explain it.
It's an ingenious story, though. I mean, it had never really been done before at the time. And James Cameron, like, the one thing I'll give that guy is, you know, 90% of the time in his movies, he does stuff that's original, you know, that hasn't really been done to death. And I think that's why he'll be known as one of the better filmmakers, you know, last 50 years or so. But, I mean, what can you say about the Terminator? I mean, basically, you know, the whole story is the Terminator is sent from the future to destroy, you know, Sarah Connor, who is the mother of this, or the would-be mother of this, you know, great war hero or whatever, you know.
Right.
John Connor. And he's sent to destroy her. And then they also send John Connor's people from the future, send somebody else to protect her. And that's Michael Biehn, who couldn't even protect himself nowadays, but, you know.
Yeah.
That's how it is.
He's busy protecting that one chick, Jennifer Blank or whatever.
Yeah, he's not doing a good job protecting her either.
Come on!
He's just doing a good job protecting his booze, evidently.
I'm curious as to though where he got the story for Terminator. I didn't look that up. I have no earthly idea, but I'd be curious.
Either.
Like, was this something that... I mean, how do you come up with something like that? That's pretty amazing storytelling. Schwarzenegger only has, I think, 6 lines of dialogue in this movie. Probably all together, 6 or 7. And all of them are fucking insanely classic. Like, I can probably recite all of them to you. You got, like, the most fun scene, though, by far, is where he goes into the gun store.
blasts. Is it Dick Miller?
Yeah, it's Dick Miller's in the gun store. Yeah, which is a weird kind of Roger Corman-esque. Because James Cameron actually got his start in Roger Corman's
film. I know you
like
saying this line, too. Cause
yeah, so he goes in, and he's showing him all
it's
the guns.
It's so killer, because it's like they had to fucking, like, practice this line with
you,
Arnold.
You can tell they did, too. He's only got six lines in it, but, like, he fucking, it's the most amazing. Because he's, like, going through the guns. He's asking for what he needs. Uzi 9mm.
You can tell that he's never said that shit before his life.
It's like 45 long slide with a laser sighting. And then, what's the one? The last thing he says, phased plasma rifle in the 40-watt range.
Yeah, that's most of his lines right there.
Yeah, that's it. That's the whole fucking. And then wrong.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it.
And Sarah Connor.
Yeah. I think.
No, is that the second one?
No, he says Sarah Connor in the first one, too, because he knocks on the door or whatever.
Sarah Connor. I know she also has that little bit of a sour comment.
I think he's got another line when he runs into Bill Paxton at the beginning of it, and like there's a bunch of punks and they walk up to him, and one of them's Bill Paxton, which makes it even more hilarious. And he's like, he's butt ass naked, and Bill Paxton says, "Laundry day, nothing clean, right?" And he goes, "Nothing clean, right?" I think that's the only lines he has. That's it.
Yeah. But if it's not it, we'll probably get an email from that guy.
Yeah.
Or he'll try to see him when we blog him.
You can't, though, anymore.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was, you know, I think Terminator was a great idea, and it was, now, with the budget they had, it was a real, that's what people don't realize, it was a really low-budget movie. I don't know if, you know, how much James Cameron had done before that. Not a whole lot, I don't think.
No, he had done Piranha 2.
Yeah.
And I wonder if he had done, that couldn't have been his second fucking movie, man. There's no way. Like, that would be too.
Yeah.
I mean, be too amazing. We'll
find
out.
But
actually, he has two more lines. He has "I'll be back," which is the classic line from that movie, and he has "Get out," which is the line he says when he gets the truck off the guy or whatever. But that so many classic scenes in this movie, man. Like, do you remember
it was his third movie. I mean, he did something in 78 called Xenogenesis, which is a short movie.
And that's
so
it?
I guess his, and then the Piranha 2. God. So that was his second feature movie.
That's quite the step up after Piranha 2 for, like, feature films.
Yeah.
But do you remember the techno tech, or what is it? The scene where they're in the discotheque or whatever, and he comes in. That whole fucking scene's classic. Like, you know, the way he walks in, it's in slow-mo, and he, like, raises the gun up. It's got the red dot and everything, and then that's when all hell breaks loose, and the chase scene that follows that and everything. Like, there are so many really, really good scenes in that movie.
Yeah, and, like, you know, it's one of those movies, too, that at the time, like I was saying, I mean, you know, you had never seen anything like it. And I think it was one of those movies as well, you know, and we'll talk about that as the years go on a little bit, but nobody ever thought they'd be able to top it, you know. That they'd ever do a sequel to it. And I can remember when I was a kid and they had finally announced a sequel to it, I was like, ain't no damn way. I mean, how are they going to fucking do a sequel to it? You know, because, of course, the Terminator, you know, he's gone. They killed him and shit.
Yeah.
So we found out later, though.
Yeah, which was pretty amazing what they did. And then Linda Hamilton was great in that movie. I mean, in both those movies, really, but completely different kind of roles, too, in both those movies, as opposed to the first one, the way that she actually did in the second one as well. The Terminator, like, it's just a different movie than Terminator 2, though. Like, it's an action movie, but it's just different somehow or another. It's much more raw and, like,
yeah, I think it's more of a it has more of a low-budget feel, and it's just, like, it almost makes it seem like it's more real.
It does, yeah, the first one as opposed to the second one.
So, yeah, the awesomeness that is Terminator, and he goes the next year and does, you know, pretty much another Conan movie.
Yeah, I guess they were just like, all those movies were making money or something. That had to be it, so they just kept with the formula of it.
Which, you know, it was probably, as a kid, this was probably the one that I watched the most. Like, I don't know why, if they just showed it more or what, but
And plus, Brigitte Nielsen in it was fucking unreal. I mean, holy shit.
I think that this was supposed to be, like, the thing that launched her career the way that, like, Conan launched his career. You know what I mean? Like, it was supposed to be the star vehicle that would make her famous. It didn't really work out that way, per se, but that was definitely the intention.
Yeah. So we're talking about Red Sonja.
Yeah.
Of course. And, you know, Arnold, the movie was also known as Calidor, too, in other countries and stuff, because they actually have a poster of it.
Calidor!
But he's not Conan in this. No. His name's Calidor, and...
he basically looks exactly the same.
Yeah,
like,
it's the same fucking character, pretty much, you know. So they're on, like, another quest or whatever. I think, you know, Red Sonja's avenging her... Is it her sister's death or something like that?
I mean, if it's her mother or her sister, yeah. I guess, but...
And, you know, it's a revenge. It's basically a female version of Conan.
It is.
With Conan.
That's exactly what it is.
And they also have Ernie Reyes Jr.
Yeah.
As a little boy in it.
Yeah.
And I think it was actually ingenious because as kids, we all thought he was the coolest little motherfucker going because, you know, he was really trained in this shit, you know, the martial arts and stuff. But his bodyguard, what was his guy? Paul Smith. Paul Smith, who was also in Pieces.
Yep.
He was in a few other things. We always, like, looking back now, if you watch this movie now, and all these people are, like, traveling together and shit, and they all have swords. Even Ernie Reyes Jr. has a sword. But Paul Smith, they just give him a big fucking bone. That's his weapon.
He had like a big dinosaur thigh bone or something.
That's his goddamn weapon, a bone. I always thought that was funnier than hell, though.
It's really cool, though. I just love the whole, I don't know what you call it, like group movie where everybody has like a special thing, like they got the ninja.
Everybody has a special power.
Yeah, it really is like that type of movie. And it's a great, it's, I won't say it's a great movie per se, but it's one of those movies, another one when I watched it as a kid, I thought it was amazing, and I still kind of like it, like, probably more so than Conan the Destroyer, even.
Sandal Bergman, the Evil Queen, she's pretty fucking hot in this movie, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I actually like this movie, I mean, it's bad, I mean, if you watch it now, like, it's definitely not aged well, but, you know, it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah. It's been a long time since I've actually gone back and watched this movie, though, too.
I think that one's out on Blu-ray right now, too.
It is, yeah.
I don't have it, though. I got the DVD.
And in this one, though, of course, Red Sonja, Brigitte Nielsen, whatever, is the fucking main person, I guess. And then Schwarzenegger's just kind of like a... I don't know if he's like a assassin or something, or some sort of just... warrior or something like that too, but he just kind of happens to run into her in this movie. I remember that, and then they get into a big
and they kind of have like a, you know, lover's quarrel,
yeah,
and they finally fuck, and then Arnold's like yeah.
The ending of this though is really, really cool. Do you remember the ending with the final fight sequence when all the shit's falling apart and in the castle and all that too? That's a really cool movie.
Do you remember that shitty little fucking water dragon thing that attacks him early on in the movie?
Yeah.
That thing looks so shitty.
So this one was also produced by Dino De Laurentiis. Jesus Christ. I think everything was produced by that guy at this time anyway. You're not going to believe who did the music for it either. Take a guess.
Let's see. Dire Straits.
That would have been the best fucking idea if they just, you had that movie, you had it set up like that, and Dire Straits was doing the soundtrack.
That'd be awesome as shit.
Fucking like during the battle sequence, they're playing like Sultan's a Swing and shit. Yeah.
And it is Sultan.
No, it was actually, I can never pronounce this guy's name right, but Neo Morricone or.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He was the one that.
He must have been desperate to get paid around that time.
I think he was, because around this time he was also doing stuff like The Thing and everything.
That's true.
A lot of different odd kind of projects. So that's Red Sonja, though. So you can enjoy that, and if not, you can suck my dick. I
always enjoy that one.
The next film that he did was probably my favorite and probably the most fun of any of his films to me, anyway. And that was Commando, which came out in the same year, 1985. He played John Matrix. And the reason why it's so fucking fun is because it's so goddamn silly, man. Like,
yeah, there, it's one goddamn guy.
Yeah. The end of the movie, and we've always talked about this with a buddy of ours too, at the end of the movie, like, he essentially wipes out an entire army by himself, only by, like, hiding behind bushes and shit while they're shooting at him. Like, there's no other, like, cover.
That's all he needs.
Hiding behind a goddamn shrub.
Oh, that's a bush. Shit.
So, Commando is the story of this guy. He's like a former, he's a Green Beret or something like that, or Colonel or something. I don't remember exactly what he is. But he's living with Alyssa Milano, who's his daughter, out in the middle of nowhere.
The best part of that movie to me is the beginning when like they're trying to act like they're their father and daughter, like, oh,
they're going fishing.
Come here, honey. Come here.
So she gets kidnapped, and she's kidnapped by Vernon Wells.
Yeah.
Which, man, to this day, and people have talked about this too, to this day it's the funniest shit, the contrast between Arnold, who's the head good guy, and Vernon Wells, who's the bad guy. Because Vernon Wells is not, like, an imposing figure at all. So he just kind of has to act.
Act like a tough son.
Yeah. And it's really just him trying to get back his daughter in the movie, like, trying to go find her and get her back before a certain time period in which, if he doesn't, then they'll kill her. Just, like I said, it's a fun movie. Him going, like, one by one through all of the henchmen.
I think that movie kind of started that whole, like, insane, you know, scenario action movie.
It is. It's like, that's the first movie I can remember where it's way over the top. There's way too much violence and way too much guns and way too many, like, people getting killed, like, just willy-nilly. It's like, that was the movie where it seemed to me like that really all got started that way in the 80s. And Schwarzenegger's spouting off fucking one-liners. Like, that's another thing, too. That might be the first movie where he really had that, too. Where you could tell they purposely wrote a lot of that stuff in there just for him to say a lot of those lines.
Well, I may be wrong, too, but I think that this was, you know, it started with this movie where Schwarzenegger was really becoming the name, you know.
Yeah.
Where it was like, because I remember the poster was like, you know, you had Arnold in his fucking outfit posing there. You had Schwarzenegger in the background over and over and over again, like he was the big, you know, and he was the big action star at the time.
Yeah.
So.
Which I always remember that too, that poster for that film as well. It's an awesome poster.
Yeah.
Another thing too that I can remember about it, like, other than the final fight sequence, which is fucking one of the best final fight sequences ever with him and Vernon Wells, but is the scene where, like, he runs out of fucking ammo as they're doing the final battle. He breaks into a tool shed, and he comes out, and he's, like, throwing fucking, like, blades to a weed eater and, like, some guy's head off with it. It's like,
of course.
What?
Of course.
It's just so, like, so over the top.
Did they ever do a Blu-ray for Commando?
Yeah. I've got it.
Is it one of those that suck, though?
Yeah, it's one of the early ones that they did, too.
Yeah, because we were talking about this earlier. This is, of all the classic horror movies, I think this is the only one I don't have on any format at all.
Yeah. I don't know how. Like, good lord. That may have been one of the first DVDs I bought, too. That movie came out, like, early on in DVDs. Love the movie, though. Really can't say enough good stuff about it. It's got the guy from The Warriors in it, too. Do you remember that?
Uh-uh.
He's the dude that's, like, when they first kidnap his daughter, they send that guy to take him to the airport. His name's Sully in it, too. And he was, like, one of the lead heels from the Warriors. I just remember, like, he tells him, because that guy's, like, joking around with him. He goes, "You're a funny guy, Sully. That's why I'm going to kill you last."
Yeah.
So.
So, yeah, Commando's, like, all-time classic for sure. I mean, it's definitely, of the early Arnold films, probably the one that, you know, defined as far as the action Arnold.
Yeah, it's a mark out movie, especially if you were a teen or like a kid around that time, because all the weapons and shit in it were just insane. And that's the kind of movie that it was. It was a big, big budget, big over-the-top movie.
So another,
I think the guy that directed it was, wasn't it John McTiernan? The same guy that would fucking direct Die Hard, I think, was the guy that directed that one.
What, Commando?
Yeah.
Mark Lester
directed. Okay. Well, fuck me.
Who did Showdown in Little Tokyo.
He did something else pretty big, too, though. Maybe it was Die Hard 2.
Yeah, he's done a bunch of stuff. Class 1984, Roller Boogie. That's one of your favorites.
Oh, God. So, Roller Boogie. Maybe it was Predator that John McTiernan directed, and then he ended up doing Die. I know some Arnold movie has a connection with the fucking Die Hard movie.
I think it was John McTiernan, Predator.
Okay.
So Raw Deal. I haven't seen Raw Deal in fucking forever.
I haven't either, to be honest. Like, it's probably been...
I remember it actually being really good, though. Like, I think it was one of those movies that kind of, like, they made it almost exactly like Commando, but it was in, like, it was in the city or something, you know? Yeah. And he's a suspended FBI agent that's going up against the mob. And I remember Arnold was actually, like, this is the first movie where they tried to kind of make him, like, charismatic in non-violent situations and shit.
Yeah.
And, it
didn't work.
Didn't really work out that well for him. But I remember actually liking Raw Deal quite a bit, but I just don't remember.
Raw Deal's one of the ones that kind of gets lost because it's not as over the top as Commando, and it's definitely not as popular as the next movie that he did. It's the one that he did sandwiched in between two really amazing movies. So it's not, I don't think it's a bad film. But I don't think it's as memorable as either one of the movies he did before or after
that. Yeah, I do know that the DVD at one point in time was worth a shitload of money, but I don't think it is anymore.
No, I don't think so either. Do you remember anything else about it? Because I really don't.
Not really, no. We should probably watch it again. Darren McGavin's in it, though. I kind of remember that.
Oh, that's good.
You know who he is?
Darren McGavin's a guy from Christmas Story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I don't know, this is a brief segue into something else. I actually watched Piranha 3DD last night.
It's a piece of shit.
It really is a piece of shit. Like, there's no real way to, like...
How could it not be, though? John Gugler's in it. I mean, he's directing it.
After the first part of it, the first scene, I thought it might actually be good, but it wasn't. It was shitty. So, I just thought I'd bring that into the discussion. So, anyway, in 1987, after Raw Deal... Some people would probably call this his best film, and some people would probably call this the most popular film that he did, other than Terminator 2, maybe. Predator.
I remember Sonny Landham in it. He played Billy.
He did, yeah.
God damn.
I'm glad we could talk about that movie so you could break that impersonation out again. Colonel! Come over here.
God damn it, I can't see Bill Duke. Where you at, Bill? God damn.
Actually, this was the movie I remember, speaking of St. Landon, where they said that he got so out of control that they had to have, like, a security guard just to kind of try to keep him from, like, beating the fuck out of people.
That's a killer.
Get over here, bitch.
I'm a goddamn badass.
I'm Sonny Landham.
Fuck you.
You know who I am. I was in 48 Hours.
You know they're actually doing a mini Predator reunion, I think, at Monster Mania. Him and Carl Weathers both are going to be there.
Sonny Landham?
Yeah.
Hey, Carl, get your ass over here.
Hey, Carl, come here and have supper with me. I'm going to have some lamb fries, bitch.
God. Predator was...
Predator's a simple fucking story, though.
It is, really. There's a team of mercenaries led by Schwarzenegger, who plays Dutch in the film, that are kind of hired by Carl Weathers to go into the jungle and rescue another team that got lost. So, that's the basic story. But then when they get there, they realize...
Oh, no.
They realize that everything wasn't as it seemed. And they are in for a lot of shit, basically, too.
Yeah, interesting cast, too. I mean, we could go through. Of course, Sonny Landham was in it. You had Jesse the Body Ventura, which was his first big role. Really one of his only big roles in any movie.
Yeah, he was in Running Man, too.
Which is the same year, I think, or maybe a year later or something. You had Bill Duke, who played Mac. You had Carl Weathers, who played Dylan. And actually, interestingly enough, you have a pretty cool horror-related person in this. Actually, mainstream-related.
Yeah.
Shane Black, who played Hawkins, he was like the younger guy, actually ended up being like a really successful writer.
The dude wrote Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
It's like, you go back and watch that movie and you tell me if you think that's the guy that would write Lethal Weapon.
Yeah. And he also wrote The Monster Squad.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, that was, he was close with Fred Decker for a while early
There's a big story about him too, though, man. Like, he really got into drugs and shit, hardcore there for a lot of years, and
didn't
write anything for years and years, and then came back, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's actually writing he wrote the new Iron Man, Iron Man 3.
Yeah, excellent writer, though.
Yeah, and supposedly working on a new Lethal Weapon movie as well, so, interesting little, side story there that he was an actor before he was a writer.
Yeah.
And, this was actually the same year that the first Lethal Weapon and Monster Squad came out. So I guess he was doing both at the time.
Oh, God. What else to say about this film? Originally, Jean-Claude Van Damme was supposed to be the Predator.
He was the Predator, supposedly, for a day.
Yeah. And that didn't work out.
And, like, something about the suit, he didn't work right in the suit or something. I think that whole story's bullshit. I've never heard anybody say that besides him. For one thing, the Predator is huge.
Yeah, but that wasn't the original concept. There's a lot of different concepts for what the Predator was going to look like, too. Like before that, the way that it got Stan Winston and everything involved, and he was the one that designed the way that it looks now. Because they went through a bunch of different things, but they weren't really happy with any of them until they got Stan Winston. And the guy they got to play Predator in this was like a fucking giant. I remember that. Like, he was a 7 foot tall dude.
I think his name was what? Peter Michael something.
Yeah, something like that. He died, though, many, many years ago. Otherwise, he'd be doing conventions and we would know him.
Yeah, we'd have his autograph.
Yeah.
We'd be chumps paying $20 for 30.
Yeah.
Or
going up
somewhere. We'd be like, oh my God, it's the Predator!
You can learn all about that and more over at SonnyLandom.com.
You can learn about my porn career. I was in Big Abner fucking her ass.
Classic movie, though. What do you want to say about it? I mean, what can you say
about it? Well, I mean, one of the big things that I think, is the star of Predator is the costume itself.
Yeah, definitely.
Because even if you look at it today, and I think both Blu-rays of Predator are shitty, but even in high def, even if it's a shitty high def format, you're watching something that's, 25 years old, and it's still, like, freaky looking. I mean, it still looks like, wow, I mean, it looks real.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like a makeup job, which is, I mean, amazing considering it's that fucking old.
There's so many, like, great scenes in that movie, too. So many classic lines in that movie.
My favorite scene in that movie, though, that I always remember is when Arnold, I guess, realizes that the Predator has, like, what is it, like, heat vision or something, heat sensors. And he covers himself in the mud. And, like, he's hiding from the Predator that way, and you can just see his eyes, kind of.
Yeah.
That was always my favorite scene in the movie for some reason. I always thought that was creepy as shit.
I always think my favorite scene, this is no joke, is the scene where Billy, like, recognizes that they ain't gonna make it out of there alive, and he just turns around and, like, drops all of his shit and cuts himself down, like, the chest with the knife, and then, like, he's getting ready to fight and everything, and then you just hear him screaming off in the distance.
Yeah.
I always thought that was a cool scene. And he's like, I'm gonna whip your ass!
You goddamn Predator. Fuck you.
Wouldn't it be cute if that was in it? Like, that was a deleted scene.
Go to hell, Predator.
Oh, always hurt me, mama. Oh, God.
He just ripped my big dick off. I ain't going to be fucking no more hairy asses with. Golly.
Big Abner's dead.
I mean, I don't know what you can say about Predator, though. I mean, I think that, I think it is one of those movies that I don't really, I mean, it is an Arnold movie, but it's like, I don't know. I mean, I don't really consider this that much of an Arnold movie more than the fact that Arnold's kind of in it, you know. I mean, he does have some memorable shit to do in it, but.
Oh, it's an Arnold movie. Stick around.
I think it's a Sonny movie.
Where mama? So 1987 is the movie that we both completely disagree on wholeheartedly, because I love this movie and you don't like it. I don't know why. I have no idea why, actually. Because it's just like a classic fucking Arnold-style movie. The Running Man.
Man, okay. I think here part of the reason is, this was one of those movies that I really didn't watch as a kid. Like, I don't know what it was, if it just fucking escaped me or what. But I never even saw this movie until it came out on DVD, I guess. Or whenever y'all brought it down here or whatever. I don't think I'd ever seen it before then.
You can get it cheaper than fuck on Blu-ray.
I actually have it on DVD. I don't think I'll buy it on Blu-ray.
What the fuck's wrong with you?
Because it's not one of my... I ain't going to say it's shitty, but I just don't think it's like... I don't think it's anywhere near the level of like the other stuff he was doing around that
time. I actually really love the story behind it, too. It was a Stephen King story. Richard Bachman, Stephen King. The idea was that in the future, they're going to have these game shows, which is pretty close to the truth now.
It's actually like, that is one interesting thing, is like, this was before reality TV.
Yeah.
And it was kind of reality
TV. It was, yeah. They're going to have these game shows where convicted criminals have a chance to win back their freedom by going through this gauntlet of, like,
blow
mazes. Why would that be hard? Everybody would want to do that. Yeah. No, they have to fight like this.
No, you have to give them.
You have to fight these different kind of assassins to get to win back your freedom. And the head guy over it, who's like the game show host, is Killian, who's played by Richard Dawson.
Who actually passed away just
recently.
Not too long ago.
I think he's like one of the biggest reasons why I like this movie too, because his character is great. Like,
he basically plays himself.
He never did any more real acting after that either. I think
there were probably no other roles for him to play himself.
Yeah, that's true. So Schwarzenegger essentially gets framed in it and gets set up and then gets put into the Running Man game along with his buddies and some chick who kind of helped him. And they're all trying to navigate. And there's all these different like killers.
It's Maria Conchita Alonso. Yeah. We were talking about her earlier.
There's all these different killers in it that are awesome, though, too, like Buzzsaw and Dynamo, Fireball and Sub-Zero, now Plain Zero.
What about Scorpion?
No, Scorpion's not in it. Liu Kang.
Johnny Cage.
No, he's not in it.
Damn it.
Although Professor Tanaka is in it.
Toro Tanaka?
Yeah.
No.
Professor Tanaka plays Sub-Zero.
That's Toro Tanaka. He was Mr. Fuji's Mr. Fuji's tag team partner back in the day before he got into acting. He was a real wrestler.
I'm trying to think. Oh yeah, speaking of wrestlers, Jesse the Body's in it, dude.
Jesse the Body's in it. So it's basically like a real life American Gladiators where you die, you know, if you lose.
I love that movie though. I love everything about it. I love the characters in it and I love the
dialogue.
Well,
I'm glad you do. I'm glad you do.
And I hate you for not liking it.
I hate you for just, you know, fun.
God.
I hate you for fun, motherfucker. I don't have to have a reason.
Fuck you. Okay, so let's go onward then, shall we?
Yeah, let's talk about a movie that I actually hate even more, Red Heat.
Now, I don't like this movie nearly as much as I do The Running Man, but I don't hate it. I just think it's fucking... I hate James Belushi.
For one thing, too. Arnold actually tried to fucking, like... do a Russian accent in this, which you can tell he's trying, like, maybe, you know, one scene for every 10, and he just uses his regular fucking voice, you know.
It's a cop buddy movie is what it is, but one cop's from Russia, one cop's from the U.S., James Belushi is the other cop.
Yeah, and Arnold's pretty much playing a straight character throughout the whole thing, and James Belushi's just not... I can think of maybe one movie that I can halfway watch James Belushi in, and I don't even know why, is that Curly Sue movie that he was in. Like, I could kind of watch that.
Shit.
What else has he done, man? I can't remember anything else.
There was one movie, I can't remember what it was, where it was a rip-off of Lean On Me, where he was the principal. Do you remember that? He was a principal of, like, a high school or something like that. That was actually a pretty decent movie, and I cannot fucking remember the name of it right now.
I think I know what you're talking about. Was it, might have been called The Principal?
Yeah, it was something like that. But I actually liked that movie. I thought that was probably one of his best films, where he takes on all the gangs and all that in the school.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what the hell else he's even been in that was remotely even popular.
I'm scrolling through a bunch of the shit that he's been in. Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of it. Wasn't he in a fucking cop movie with fucking Tupac? Where Tupac was a cop and they were both cops?
I hope not. I don't remember that.
I think he was.
No, that'd be awful. Shit.
I'm almost positive.
I wrote the song a long, long time ago.
He was in K-9.
That's another one. I actually remember that one, yeah. That's one of the... Man, what
yeah,
was
it? It was called The Principal.
Okay. What was it, though, about that time, around that period, where everybody was making these goddamn dog cop buddy movies?
Well, the dog cop buddy movie started with fucking Turner and Hooch. That was the big, you know, when that came out, that was like the big movie. So they were all ripping it off. You had fucking Top Dog with Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
It was so killer. What was even funnier about Top Dog with Chuck Norris is that movie didn't even fucking come out until about 6 or 7 years after Turner and Hooch. Like, that's how slow fucking the Chuck Norris team is.
But anyway, Red Heat's not a good movie. I don't think it is either, to be honest. Like, I can tolerate it, but it's definitely not one of the ones that I go back and watch.
Yeah, and oddly enough, like, so far, aside from Commando, I think I own all these goddamn... I even own Red Heat.
Yeah.
And I've got Raw Deal, which I've never opened. $3.99 Kmart deal. So,
what about Twins? Do you like Twins?
I actually really do like Twins. Because, again, that was one of those movies, much like, you know, a lot of people that probably listen to the show. They showed the fuck out of that on HBO back in the day. I mean, it was all over everything. And it had elements of, you know, it really didn't have any elements of the other Arnold movies in it.
Man, this was the first movie, a lot of people don't even remember this now, this is the first movie he broke stereotype, like went against the action films, and this was a comedy completely, like there was nothing action film about it, really.
Yeah.
This was the first attempt at doing that, and it was really successful, too, which led to an unfortunate string of fucking, like, movies. Well, the one after it was good, but the ones after that were kind of...
Yeah, I mean, he did, like, a couple of really good comedies that were actually enjoyable movies, but then, yeah, you had movies
just
like
proved,
Junior and, you know, stuff that was just stupid.
It just proved that he could do pretty much anything. Like, they could put him in any kind of film.
I think the whole story of Twins, and I'm pretty sure I can remember this, is they were separated at birth. Their mother gave one of them up to an adoption orphanage, and the other one was living, like, in France or whatever the hell they said. And, like, Julius, I think, is Arnold's character in the movie. He discovers that he had a brother. I don't remember exactly how, but he decides to go and find his brother, and his brother happens to be Danny DeVito, who's fucking 4'5" or whatever, and you know, into the wrong things, you know, breaking the law and stuff. And Julius, of course, is complete opposite, you know, upstanding person and shit. And just, you know, hilarity ensues after that.
It really does.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a really fun movie, you know, because you had two completely different styles of actors with Schwarzenegger and DeVito who worked really well together. There's a good chemistry there. The backstory and everything is kind of like a fish out of water, because if I remember correctly, doesn't he grow up on an island or something like that away from people?
Well, I guess that's how they explain him having the accent. And
He's supposed to grow up in France or something like that.
It was France, like some sort of island in France or something.
Which is the same shit they used to do with Van Damme to explain, like, his accent, too.
Dude, like, the one thing I remember, too, about that movie is Kelly Preston, who, oh, my God, holy shit. Like,
she married old Mr. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh my God, I'm gonna show you my cock.
Give me a massage over here. God, I'm trying to remember what else was it in that film that was actually notable too. I don't remember anybody else being in it except those two and the two women.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot, of different actors really in it that I can think of. I mean, there's the mob people that he's trying to protect, I guess, Vincent from.
Danny DeVito, yeah.
Yeah, Danny DeVito. And, yeah, I mean, I don't remember, like, I know Kelly Preston's like the only other name that's really in it.
And it, I guess it works, though, because it's a big budget movie. They got some really good actors in it. It has a decent story.
Oh, I remember the guy that was after him now, though. I looked it up. I can remember now. Is Marshall Bell is like one of the...
Oh, yeah.
You know, you remember from Stand By Me, and he was in Elm Street 2. You know, he's one of the lead hitmen after Vincent.
Yeah, of course.
So, you go from Twins, which... came out in 88 and in 1990, and we're getting close to the end here. I think we're going to end this week with T2, which we'll be talking about for a while. But Total Recall, which do you want to wait and save that to the review portion, or you just want to go ahead and talk about it?
Well, if we go ahead and talk about it, we might as well review the shit, because it makes no sense to try to...
Yeah. Why don't we just review it in the review portion, and people will skip toward that, because that way we can talk about these two comedies right together.
All right. The next one would have been 1990's, probably, in my opinion, the best comedy ever did, though, was Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah. And this was a movie that kind of played off of, you know, the Arnold crowd would go to it, of course, because it's Arnold. And you also get, like, all the people, mainly, you know, women, that think little kids saying cute shit is funny.
Yeah.
So.
And it also probably has some of the funniest, like, Arnold seriously delivered lines ever, like, I'm Detective John Kimball, and then, it's not a tumor.
Yeah.
And all that stuff, too, which was in that.
Yeah, actually, Miko Hughes was in this, too.
Yes, he was.
Later go on and do, or I think it was around the same time he did Pet Sematary. And,
well, in this one, if I remember correctly, he has to go undercover to be a kindergarten teacher to try to find this Richard Tyson is the guy that's
Dirty,
like,
Dick Tyson.
Yeah, Dirty
Who's
Dick Tyson.
Who's done a lot of really shitty independent films. Like,
oh, I fucking love that dude in 3 o'clock High. If you've never seen that movie.
I've never seen it.
Dude.
Not that I can remember.
You've gotta fucking find that movie, because I used to watch that when I was a kid too, and I went back and watched it. It's still an awesome movie. It's, the whole premise of the movie is just, there's this fucking tough guy at this school, and Casey Zemesko, who was in Young Guns, pisses him off by accident. And then, like, he sets it up to where he's going to have to fight him at 3 o'clock, like, after school lets out. And it's, the whole movie's based around him trying to get out of that fight. It's a great, great movie, yeah. But that doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking
about. Sounds like an after-school special that I used to watch. Had the same plot to it. I can't ever remember the name of it, though.
Yeah, you need to see it, though. It really is awesome. I wish I had that, but I don't. But in Kindergarten Cop, he plays Richard Tyson plays the lead heel, who has a kid that's in kindergarten that is in Arnold's class, and he's basically in there, like, trying to figure out who the dad is and everything. Who is the love interest in that fucking movie? It's not coming to me for some reason.
It's Penelope, her name?
Yeah, Penelope Miller.
Yeah.
Is that her name? Yeah.
The blonde. She was also in Big Top Pee Wee. So I always thought Pee Wee was fucking gay and he didn't want to get on that shit.
Buddy, you leave him alone.
I think he was gay.
Was he supposed to be? Maybe he was.
Maybe
I don't
he
know.
Was.
He's kind of asexual. He doesn't have any.
Yeah. I'd be banging Penelope Ann Miller in the butt, buddy, right by the schoolyard and Big Top Pee Wee. I'd be like,
your ass is good. Did you see it at the theater, though, Kindergarten Cop? I did.
I think I did.
Clearly,
yeah.
Remember,
I think
that.
I saw, like, Twins and Kindergarten Cop in the theater.
Yeah. Probably my favorite of all the Arnold comedies, though. Because it was a really good story and it had a really good acting, and he actually played really well off the kids, and it just seemed to work.
Yeah, it's a great movie. I've seen it I don't know how many goddamn times, over and over and over again, which is probably why I'll never buy it.
Yeah, there's no need to buy that movie.
Yeah. Really. I mean, I actually have it, but I'd never get it on Blu-ray or anything just because I've seen it so many times.
I'm Detective John Kimball. I'm a cop, you idiot.
I'm a cop, you idiot. God damn. So,
I guess ending the first part of the Arnold retrospective is goddamn, we've been talking for like over an hour on Arnold, just first part.
Yeah. But we're actually not done because we're going to do the Total Recall review, which is included in all this.
That's
too.
True. That's just a separate Blu-ray review, though, because that's a special thing.
Yeah, it's the mind-bending edition.
But probably the movie that kind of redefined the action genre in 1991 when it came out, and I still remember seeing this in the theater as a kid and being completely obsessed with the movie that whole year when it came out, because there was like all kinds of shit. Video games, action figures. I remember I had posters that you'd get at Walmart, fucking Terminator 2 and shit. You know, he just, it's completely like night and day difference between the first Terminator and Terminator 2. I mean, it's just such a grand fucking scale, you know, where you're like, looking back at it now, you can see this was his, you know, and it should have been, you know, the swan song for the Terminator movies.
Yeah.
This should have been it.
Yeah.
You know, because it's, you know, it's like, it's perfect. I mean, there's nothing you could ever do that would top the story in it, the build, the fucking end of the movie, how epic the ending is. And it's just, you know, I still think, and a lot of people are probably like, what the fuck? I still think it's Jim Cameron's best movie. Like, I don't know what he thinks. He probably is like, jacking off to Avatar on a daily basis.
I think he is, yeah. Or Titanic.
But to me, like, I just think it's a perfect movie because it's got, you know, great action in it. It's got, all, like, I think everybody in it did a great job acting in it, too. Like, I thought Linda Hamilton was amazing in it.
Yeah.
And
completely changed,
you know, and
the role, too.
Yeah, and it also had that narrative that she was doing the voiceover for, just made it seem like an event. Like you were, like this is something big you're watching, you know?
Yeah, and also, probably the coolest idea for kind of another type of villain was the Robert Patrick played T-1000 and all that stuff too. Because yeah. You had, you know, Arnold was in it as the regular Terminator, and then he was in it, and the idea that they, and you got to keep in mind too, the technology to do that morphing that they were doing
really,
had just came out at that time. Yeah. I remember that because Michael Jackson used it in that shitty fucking song,
Black or White.
Yeah. But the Terminator movie was like, the Terminator 2 was one of the first movies to use that in anything. And when you were a kid and you saw all that shit and all the way that was all set up, I mean, I went back and saw that movie time after time in the theater when it came out. I remember that clearly. Everybody did. That's the thing. It made like a fuck ton of money around that time. And just how amazing and epic that felt to go and see that movie at that time. I mean, nobody had ever seen anything like it.
Yeah.
It was completely different.
Yeah, I think like, you know, thinking about it now, like the ultimate non-horror movie to do, if we ever could do it,
yeah,
at the Strand, would be Terminator 2.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it was just,
because it'd be cool to experience it again, even though, you know, you're not going to have all the great sound and stuff that a big theater would have, but it'd be cool to see it on a big screen.
I don't think you could make a better action movie than that. I don't know how you would, really.
Yeah.
You have all the stars, they have the best story, the best action scenes, the best effects. Like, there's no way.
Yeah, and you got to think, too, at the time when they were doing all these action sequences and stuff, like, all this shit was practical, too, man. This was before, you know, they were doing all this, you know, CGI explosions and shit like that.
Yeah.
I mean, all that shit was,
that's probably why it still looks good.
Yeah. And even the CG that they did, the early computer stuff, I mean, it still holds up well. The only thing that I hate about it is, it's like, they have yet to come out with a good Blu-ray
release.
Yeah,
all
the
Blu-rays are shitty. Yeah. I don't know why that is either.
Yeah.
You think somebody would really try to make that movie.
I think it's Lionsgate who actually owns it now.
Yeah, they probably explain
which,
it.
Yeah, they don't really seem to care about some of their old titles, but I think that would be one that would be a must for restoration.
I don't even think that you could really explain how many scenes are in this movie that are classic to this day.
Yeah, the one scene that I always felt looked just, you know, I mean, amazing, but also like scary as shit, especially after 9/11, was the nuclear, when they were doing the nuclear explosion.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that, yeah.
Where you've got the, you know, I think it was Linda Hamilton watching her son play in the playground. And, like, you know, you basically see her get freaking eviscerated by this, you know, atomic bomb.
That was off
it
the
chain. It was brutal.
It was brutal.
Yeah.
You know, I forgot about that, but there's always a scene in each one of the Terminator movies where they go back to the future, so to speak. Like,
right.
they go to the future where they're fighting all the Terminators and everything, and there's a scene in that, in this one, too, where they do that as well. I don't even know, man. Like, I know everybody listening to this has to have seen that movie, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the, it's one of the highest grossing films of all time.
And like I was saying, man, I mean, looking back at that movie now, and then going, and we'll be talking about Terminator 3 next week, but, like, just fucking underwhelming experience. Because I know that we were all kind of excited about seeing when Terminator 3 came out. But everyone else was still like, you know, there's no way. It's not, and of course it didn't come close.
No.
I mean, it was just, you know, I mean, you can't. I mean, you shouldn't. It's almost, you know, it's very much like George Lucas trying to come back and
you really shouldn't
Star Wars.
Even try.
Yeah. It's not a good idea. And, you know, I'm glad.
How many years later was it done, Terminator 3?
I think it was like 10, 12 years later.
Yeah, I mean, Terminator 2 was made in 92, I think. And fucking, we went and saw Terminator 3.
I think it was 2003 or so when Terminator 3 came out.
Yeah.
So. Fucking stupid. That movie's stupid. But anyway.
Nick Stahl was in it, though, so that's good.
Yeah.
Christiane Loken, who we'll get to see here shortly.
Christiane Loken was nice.
I don't know why she didn't take off.
She could take off in porn.
Yeah, she could.
Holy shit. I don't know. She might be one of the hottest women that I've ever seen in person.
You gotta go up to her and tell her that.
You know what, bitch? You're one of the hottest fucking pieces of ass I've ever seen up close. What do you think of that, bitch?
She'd be like, oh, thank you.
I get told that a lot.
I'm Christiane Loken. Thanks a lot.
I told her she was a lesbian, though.
Is she really?
Yeah.
That figures. Shit.
Wouldn't you like to see her go to town on the fucking vagina?
What was that?
Terminator 2, like, what else can you say about Terminator 2, though? I think...
It's Judgment Day, bitch.
Yeah, it's amazing. And also, you gotta remember Guns N' Roses.
You can make my eye, but you wait.
Edward Furlong, though, did you ever hear the story about how they found him?
Found him in a... alleyway smoking crack?
Basically, I mean, I think James Cameron just saw him in a crowd. He wasn't even an actor.
That explains a lot.
Yeah. So, anyway, that is it for the first part. Of course, we got Total Recall, the review, coming up a little bit later where we talk about the new Blu-ray edition. We both just watched the movie last night, so it'll be fresh in our minds.
Hell yeah.
Because I think there's a few things of Total Recall that don't really, haven't aged well, I'll just say that.
Give the people air!
We'll be back. I'm going to get some fucking water because I've been fucking making all these bizarre noises and about to fucking gag over here.
Major.
On deadpan.com, mama.
So, you think you're untouchable?
Word life. This is basic thugonomics. This is basic thugonomics. Word life. I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me. Word life. This is basic thugonomics.
Two masters of horror. John Carpenter, director of Halloween, The Fog, Christine, and Memoirs of an Invisible Man. And Toby Hooper, director of Poltergeist and Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Together, they bring you a frightening new tale of horror.
Here we are. Where in the hell does that come from?
Nightmare powers of monstrous evil.
He cut him up. You see? Had his eye, you know.
John Carpenter takes you on a terrifying journey.
I have to finish digging your grave.
Into the darkness of the human soul.
What's happening to me? 99.
Robert Carradine, Mark Hamill, Deborah Harry, Stacy Keach, David Norton, David Warner, Twiggy, Sheena Easton, featuring cameos by top horror film directors, Wes Craven of Nightmare on Elm Street, Sam Raimi of Evil Dead, Roger Corman of The Little Shop of Horrors, John Carpenter, and Toby Hooper. Body Bags.
Welcome back to the show.
Welcome back, Aaron.
Hello. So, now is the portion of the programming where we read off your fucking fan mail. You
very
bitches.
True.
Let's go ahead and get started with this, because we're running long as shit.
We are. I mean, we probably don't have that many more announcements or anything to make, so let's go ahead and get into the questions.
So, Newt138 writes,
which was originally for Jess, by the way.
Yeah, well, she's not going to do it, so don't worry. Newt138 says, since CK has mentioned a few times that he enjoys porn,
that's right,
I was wondering what his thoughts were on Brazilian lesbian fart fetish porn.
You know, that's an interesting subgenre of porn, but my latest would have to be the elderly Nicaraguan midget porn.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the newest thing that kind of, you know, kind of turns me on a little bit.
Yeah, because you don't want to get the teen Nicaraguan midget porn. You want to get the elderly. I mean,
yeah, the elderly Nicaraguan.
That's where it's at.
Midget porn.
Yeah,
that's what I'm into, especially the anal.
Yeah, that kicks it up a notch.
Yeah.
He also says,
you get shit that looks like gravel coming out of their asshole. You gotta love that.
He also asks us if either of us have seen River of Darkness. And he says it's a low-budget film starring Kurt Angle, Kevin Nash, Sid Vicious, and Glaith. Yeah, we reviewed it.
We reviewed it out, like, when it came out. And,
it's a piece of shit.
This is insane. Shitty.
Kurt Angle's one of the worst actors I think I've ever seen.
I think it has, like, a lot of the people that were in, like, Night of the Living Dead and Dawn of the Dead, too, because it was made in Pittsburgh.
It's awful.
Yeah. It's actually the movie that killed fucking Bill Hinesman.
It is, yeah. So, that's it for that, though. Would you like to read Johnian or Jonian or however the hell you pronounce that?
Jonian? Uncle Bill said he hated Tim Burton movies from the past 10 years, namely Sleepy Hollow. He said, okay, Sleepy Hollow came out in 1999, Uncle Bill, you fucking dumbass.
Golly, thanks, fact checker general.
It came out not 10 years ago, 13 years ago.
Well, I hate it too, so.
He says, I own it in Laserdisc. It's one of the final Laserdiscs ever released. Anyhow, I do it. Agree, but for me, that was his last good movie. It has quite a mix of mystery, goth, suspense, and Burtonism, whatever that is, before he went batshit quirky for the sake of being quirky. Not part of the plot, maybe his handler got fired and died of embarrassment. He said, I don't know if you guys have done a show on this topic, but it's been a subject often mentioned, a show about the best nude scenes in horror. You got ladies such as Matilda May, Kelly Brook, Marissa Morell, Juliana Gill, the name of you.
Matilda May was the one in Life Force, which is probably one of the most amazing nude scenes, because it's not really a scene, it's the whole goddamn movie. She never has any clothes on in that whole movie. But, man, how could you even talk about that without putting Debbie Sue Voorhees in there? Because that's one of the classic nude
That's
scene.
True. I think Debbie Sue probably had the best set of tits that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like,
Just natural, too, man. But the sad thing about those titties are, as time goes by, they start sagging more and more and more, and then they just don't start looking, they don't start to look too good after a while.
No. That's your life.
Yeah.
Linnea Quigley in Savage Streets and Return of the Living Dead.
You like your new scenes in Savage Streets. You get fucking raped.
Well, he said no.
I love it. What's even
nursing.
Worse, too, in Savage Streets is she, like, that's before she had her titty implants.
Yeah. So that would really, be like a year before, though.
It really looks like they're raping a little girl in it, too.
Oh, it does not.
It fucking does. Because, okay, the thing about her in Savage Streets is she's like an eccentric, shy schoolgirl what she is.
Right. Which is why Steve loves that movie so much, and he knows that, too.
Yeah, Steve's probably jacked off to that a few dozen times.
What else can you think of, though, nude scene-wise?
I think Melinda Clark in Return of the Living Dead 3.
Yeah.
I always thought, yeah, she was fucking unreal.
Yeah, definitely. Good Lord.
I don't know, man. I mean, probably the twins in Friday the 13th Part 4. I always liked them. Always enjoyed their eyes.
Nice.
Who else?
Nice.
Going back to Part 5, you got to go with Melanie Kinman. I mean, my God, dude. I'd still love to meet her because she's actually one of the more friendly.
Does she get nude there in that, though?
You get to see, you can see through her top.
Oh.
That's close.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about all the ones I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah.
So let's go on here and see, Fucker from Hell writes in and says, out of all of your DVD and Blu-ray.
I have sad news for you, though. Fucker from Hell's finally been banned from the board.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
He started making threats.
Against who?
He posted something about, I don't know. Well, you know the kind of shit he was doing.
Yeah. It really was like.
It was an Ed Wood had to have.
Yeah, every so often somebody comes along on the boards who's just. There's something wrong with them, and they keep posting, like, threads after threads after threads. And people are just, like, they get tired of that shit.
No.
And finally somebody starts saying something about it, and they're like, I'm going to fucking kill you.
Yeah, that's basically kind of what happened.
So, yeah. Nobody gives a fuck. Out of all of the DVD and Blu-rays, which one do you wish you didn't get? And concerning the last time I asked you guys a question of the show, let me try and make the best sense out of it.
Okay, let's see.
Says... The first question was, if you could make your ultimate grindhouse experience, what would you use for the trailers and the films? The second question was, what horror film icon you think you could take in a fight?
Chucky.
Leprechaun.
I think I could beat the fuck out of Chucky.
I think so, too. Also, he says, what would we use as the trailers and films for an ultimate grindhouse experience, buddy?
Well, I'd probably do like... I do the slasher grindhouse type thing. Like, I'd put Don't Go in the Woods, The Forest.
Be a good one.
Maybe The Mutilator. Make it like a triple feature. And then in between that, you could put, like, I don't know, Find Trailers for fucking Home Sweet Home, Final Exam. You know, some movies that kind of suck, but, you know, that'd be kind of my deal.
I'd do the rock and roll... Rock and Roll Beach Blast Satanic Splash, we call it that. Because it would be Black Roses, shit, what's the one?
Rock and Roll Nightmare.
Rock and Roll Nightmare, Trick or Treat. I'd put all those together. And in between it, I'd have like old music videos from the 80s and shit as the trailers.
Hell yeah. Or you could play the music video for We're Stars.
Yeah. Is there any DVD or Blu-ray you wish you didn't get? That's a weird question.
There's probably a lot, but like, as far as one, I think one that I think should never have been made is the one they did for The Hills Have Eyes.
Two? Or
no, the original one, because it's such a shitty fucking disc.
That's true.
It's basically The Hills Have Eyes, that Anchor, was it Anchor Bay or Image? Or, I think it was Image that did it. It's pretty much the DVD. I mean, that's what it is. They didn't, I think they just upscaled the DVD, and that's the Blu-ray. So
there you go, buddy. We're sorry you got banned.
Not really. Scott Sanderson, want to know what our thoughts were on the Twin Peaks show and movie. I've actually never seen Twin Peaks, either the show or the movie.
Me either.
And he was also wondering, when you get sent movies to review, you don't like them, do you ever feel obligated to tone down your opinions for the show? I'll be fucking quite honest with you. I would say over the last, 6 months or so, the majority of the shit that we've got, we haven't even watched. Because it all looks so fucking horrible, we don't want to see it. I mean, that's how it... I mean, I appreciate getting sent the stuff, but the thing is, like, I can only take so many of these Anchor Bay, Image Entertainment, low-budget horror movies that we never asked for, by the way. They just send them.
Dude, the Lionsgate people?
Yeah.
I've probably got 15 to 20 DVDs that I could bring up here, but I don't want to watch any of them. They all look like complete shit, man. Like, yeah, and I don't ask for them. I never, like, request them. They don't ever even send a...
Yeah, it's not like we ask for this shit and we just don't review it. Yeah. They just send... fucking, like, just the most bizarre zombie movie bullshit that's out there. That's
except for Zombie Babies, which I got.
Zombie Babies.
Which will be amazing, yeah.
Yeah. I got something called The Dead Season, which I thought at first was like a season show or something, but it's just a movie called The Dead Season.
It's like, at this point, I think we're pretty much done doing any of those. We used to review all that stuff, like, all the time, those independent movies.
I think after a while, I mean, maybe if I hear some good things... I'll check one of them out, and sometimes it works out, you know.
Cause it'd have to be, like, amazing word of mouth, though, for me to even watch any of those movies, because they all look the same.
I mean, sometimes, you know, what was the movie that Hammer did that we thought was pretty good that we reviewed? Like that
Vampire
one.
Circus?
No, it was a new Hammer movie.
Oh.
I can't remember it now. I can't remember the damn name of it.
But it was a little creepy kid movie. Yeah. I can't remember it either.
Yeah. But that was a really good movie, you know, whatever the name of it was.
I can't remember now either.
But most of it is just like, because I've tried watching some of this shit, and some of the stuff is not even horror. Like, we were sent this random movie called, it was something with Snoop Dogg and Wiz Khalifa. And I was like, okay, maybe it's something like really fucking stupid, you know, like one of the Friday movies that I'll still enjoy, you know. Oh my God, man! It was so fucking horrible. It's only like a 70-minute movie. I couldn't get through 20 minutes of it. I actually tried to watch that one.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because Wiz Khalifa, when I hear his name, I think of talent.
It's though, something like Calvin and Don Go to High School or something. The name of it.
we gotta strap ourselves in here because we got a question from Cody. So get ready. You ready?
I'm ready, Bulls.
He says, hey guys, I really enjoyed the Jason Goes to Hell commentary you did a little while back. I bet after watching that again, Jason X is starting to look pretty good, isn't it? And I'm thinking that it really is, yeah. He says, if you want even more proof about how stupid Adam Marcus is about introducing new concepts into the 9th film in a series, read the very last entry on the film in Crystal Lake Memories. It's amazing how ignorant he is when it comes to that. As we know, some directors just can't take any criticism toward their movies, but who do you think are the ones who really can't take it, that react absolutely unprofessionally and childishly about it? For me, the biggest one has to be Nick Palumbo. I've never even seen Murder Set Pieces, and I honestly don't care to see it either, but from the stuff I've heard about him, he seems like one of the meanest assholes ever when it comes to other people talking shit about his movies. I hate to say it, but it also seems like Kevin Smith is starting to get that way, judging from some of the stuff he said. I'm losing my voice. He said when a few of his last movies were trashed by critics. Thanks for answering, and talk to you later.
I would say Eli Roth would be one of the big ones.
He doesn't really take criticism at all, which is one of the reasons why we kind of like hated him to begin with.
Yeah. Who else?
Somebody that just absolutely cannot stand.
I think Adam Green's kind of the same way, too.
I don't even know about Adam Green, like, in terms of that, though.
Because he was like, he had the attitude like, oh, nobody can make a Hatchet movie but me.
Well, I guess we'll see. If Hatchet 2 is any indication, you don't really have a lot to live up to.
You got Hatchet 3 coming out, which is a different director, which I just don't see how it could be worth a shit, but we'll see.
Honestly, one of them that I think too, man, from everything that I've heard, is Carpenter. Like, you really can't even talk to Carpenter about some of his movies because he just absolutely will not, like, discuss any of them. And he seems just very, like, very almost overly arrogant about a lot of his films and stuff,
yeah,
too. Like,
could I, be, I don't know. But is that the last question?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Well, I'd like, like to thank everybody for writing in. We're running a little long on the show, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about some Total Recall on Blu-ray. We'll have a couple more small announcements to get to, and then it'll be the show for this week.
Let's do it, boy.
DigBoo.com.
Why?
It takes 4 years to graduate and 30 seconds to make sure you don't. Graduation day. There are 200 seniors at Midvale High and 7 days till graduation. They're being fitted for caps and gowns and coffins. Graduation day. The class of 81's running out of time. Rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
Welcome back, folks, to Dead Pit Radio. I'm the Creepy Kentuckian.
I'm Uncle Bill High.
And I hope everybody's enjoyed the show. It's been fun talking about Schwarzenegger, and we're actually going to end talking about the new mind-bending Blu-ray edition of Total Recall that just came out not too long ago. Actually, it's $10, I think, at Walmart right now, so anybody can go and get it. Just fucking collect your pop cans and
shit. I think all Lionsgate movies that come out like that, like the older ones, are $10.
The only thing is most of the Lionsgate Blu-rays suck.
Yeah, but this one's actually an improvement over the last one, from what I understand, too.
So, we're going to get to that in just a second. But also, the East Kentucky Fear Fest, we had a big show last Friday, and, you know, we didn't quite sell it out, but we came damn close yet again.
Yeah, really close.
And, you know, we were actually talking to the manager, you know, just yesterday about we're going to do... I believe we're going to do one next, you know, in September and October, and it may eventually turn into like a monthly thing until, you know, the bottom line is the digital industry's taken over, like, as far as movies go, and The Strand, maybe within a year it won't be around, who knows, but, you know, we're going to be trying to do as many of these shows as possible for as long as we can until that day comes. So.
Yeah, and like you said, though, you make a good point. It really is up to the people listening to where these things continue to go, like as many as we're doing, because the audience and how many people shows up determines how long we get to do these things.
You know, I can go ahead, and I guess I can go ahead and talk about this, even though we don't have a date confirmed yet. But basically, the September is going to be an experiment because it's not a big-name movie, but it's a movie that a lot of cult fans... of the genre talk about. It's one of their favorite slasher movies, and it's probably my favorite print that I still have. It was the very first print I ever got. We're going to attempt to play Mad Men in September, so that's the movie. We just don't know the date yet, but we'll probably get to that within the next week or so and start hyping the fuck out of it.
Yeah, we're a little bit nervous about this one because it doesn't have the name appeal of a Friday the 13th or Halloween or a Nightmare on Elm Street or anything like that, so... Like you said, it's kind of a iffy thing. We really need the support of the hardcore horror community to come out for this
one. And I think it's one, too, that we have to, on the promotional stuff, the flyers and stuff, we have to kind of be careful how we promote it. Like, maybe as the best slasher movie that, you know, you've never seen or something like that. You know. So anyway, we got a lot of stuff planned with that. We got convention season's going to be upon us in September as well, so we're going to be busy as fuck, Uncle Bill.
We are, really, man. Like, the next couple months is going to be stupid.
Yeah. So, that's the big thing. Also, I think next week I want to have... We've done this... We've had this commentary
for, we did it in April, and it's never been, we never put it up. And it's John Carpenter's The Thing.
Yeah, what the fuck happened with that? I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, we never did put it up, but I want to try to have it ready by next week. It will be available for download. I think we were wanting to debut it as a DVD, but we never did do that.
Yeah, so here you go.
So that'll be next
Somebody
week.
Somebody won that about a year ago, so we'll have to do the other one that the other person won about a year ago soon, too.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't think anybody will give a fuck about the other one we got to do, though.
Probably not.
Willow.
I want to do that, actually. I think that'd be really cool. Let's go ahead and do the Blu-ray.
So the Mind-Bending Edition, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Total Recall, Paul Verhoeven, who did a lot of ambitious films back in the day.
Didn't he also direct RoboCop?
Yeah. And he also did Holler Man.
With Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
Holler Man.
So Total Recall came out in 1990. Arnold was big action star at that time, was headlining every movie he was in. And this was a lot like, you know, the Terminator movie in a way. I mean, it involved kind of like the time travel aspect or mind control, and it was a sci-fi, definitely a sci-fi movie, and was what was, he'd only done like one, Terminator was the only other sci-fi movie he did up to that point, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
And this was trying to be what eventually Terminator 2 became. And if you look at it now, like, it definitely hasn't aged well at all, especially if you're watching it in high def. A lot of the makeup effects, special effects and stuff in it are just laughable.
But
at
I
best.
Still think the story of the film holds up. It's a great story.
Yeah, it's a fun movie, though, too, and it's action-packed, and Michael Ironside's awesome in it. I think it's might be the biggest movie Michael Ironside
has
ever in.
Yeah. Biggest role he had in a movie, too, that was like that.
But the whole story is, you know, Arnold is working, which planet is he working on? Is he working on Earth?
I don't remember.
Is that a deal? But anyway, this is in the future, of course, where you can go to different planets and vacation. Like, if you want a vacation to Mars, you can or whatever. There's a lot of people that can't afford that. So there's this company called Recall that implants memories into your brain. And, you know, it starts off where Arnold wants to take, like, an imaginary vacation to Mars or whatever as a spy. And something goes wrong. And, you know, after you think they fix it, they really kind of, you know, send his world, his, like, what he thinks is his world into, like, a mess, if you will. And everybody that he thinks he knows, he really doesn't know. And it all leads up to, you know, a twist ending, if you haven't seen it.
Yeah. And the other guy, too, that's in it that I always really liked in the role was the guy from Beverly Hills Cop. I don't remember his name, but he's like he's one of the police sergeants that's like the head guy in this too. The guy over the white haired guy that's over top of
Ronnie Cox.
Yeah, Ronnie Cox. That's it. Yeah. Sharon Stone's in this movie.
Oh my God, Sharon Stone.
I can remember when this movie came out, though. I was probably 10 or 11. I probably saw it when I was 11 or 12, I'd say. Thinking that she was like the hottest woman ever. Yeah. And she really was the hottest woman ever at that time.
Yeah, really fucking hot.
But she plays his wife, who's kind of like involved in the story.
Dude, I can remember, though, like talking about Sharon Stone.
Yeah.
You remember that movie she did? I think she did get completely naked in it. Slither?
Yeah.
I actually, like, that was one of the very first, like, movies I remember jacking off to.
Thanks for sharing that shit.
I figured you'd appreciate that.
Oh, God.
I was like, what, 12 or 13 or something?
You saw her in it. Oh, my God, I'm playing with my
I can't recall, though, if she got completely naked in it.
I think
it,
she showed her tits for sure.
Yeah.
I know she did, as a matter of fact.
I think that was like one of the early ones that I, you know, squirted some out on or whatever.
Oh, Lord. So, I don't know how I can recover from that fucking idea. So in this one, though, like you were saying, it starts out as just kind of a regular little drama movie and then ends up like taking a sharp turn where he becomes somebody that he doesn't even know who he is, really. If he's the person that he was when he started, or if he's the actual spy and agent and everything that everybody thinks he is. And everybody's kind of double-crossing him and leading up to the grand finale. But the real plot point in the movie is that he's trying to give the people of Mars air. That's what he wants to do. He's trying to rescue Mars.
Yeah. Which I never really did get into that part of the story. Like, the thing is, when you get to Mars, like, and all the Martians, I guess, the people of Mars, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
Like, they all look fucking ridiculous. Like,
the three-titted woman, of course everybody remembers
that. Yeah, and then, you know, cunt face.
Cunt face, yeah.
Of course.
Quattro.
Yeah, Quado or whatever, Twado, whatever Quado, you want to call him.
Quaid, you know.
Of course, the Marshall Bell's actually in this one, too, you know.
He is, yeah. He's the
he's the carrier of Quato, kind of.
Yeah. The shit Quato.
I just think, like, yeah, I mean, this movie, though, and like, a lot of the, I guess, the set pieces were miniatures, and you can clearly fucking tell that now. Like, it's one of some of the movies, I'm not saying it's, I mean, it's an enjoyable movie. I easily watched all of it and enjoyed it. But it's like, you know, it's just distracting when you watch it now. You're like, wow, I mean, that does look pretty fucking bad.
I'll be honest with you. I like this movie, but it's definitely not one of my favorite Arnold movies. And it's definitely not even one of the ones that I think has the more rewatchability to it. Like, yeah. I enjoyed it when it came out. A lot of people really, really like it and think it's like a classic and all this and that. But I don't know. It falls somewhere in the mid.
I'm willing to bet it'd probably be better than the new one.
Oh, God. Yeah. And that's the other thing why we're doing this, too, is because that movie just hit theaters. And
it didn't do anything, really, did it?
No, it didn't even beat the Dark Knight, like, when it came out.
Yeah.
First of all, I hate Colin Farrell. I really fucking hate him.
I think a lot of people hate him.
Like, it's just the most generic actor ever.
We try to rise above hate, but it's hard with Colin Farrell.
Yeah. Like you said, you make an exception if people are stupid, and that's one of them. And who else was in it? Was Beckinsale in it, or who was the lead woman that was with him?
Oh, the new one.
Yeah, was it Kate Beckinsale?
I think it is,
yeah. It just, man, I don't give a shit about any of those people. Like, and the idea is really not one that lends itself well to remakes.
Well, I think the only thing they can do now better is the effects and stuff. I mean, it's basically easy to do that shit now.
Yeah.
So. But Total Recall, man, like, I'm kind of with you. I mean, as far as the stuff that Arnold did, you know, it's always one that's going to be in my collection, but it's not going to be one that I want to have an interest in watching over and over again. It's got a lot of nostalgic scenes in it, like, you know, when Arnold takes off the fucking woman head and shit.
Yeah.
And, like, some of the effects in it are done pretty well for the time, but, like, I mean, I think when they're on Mars and their eyeballs are coming out and stuff, that's just, you look at that and you're like, God, that's not fucking Arnold. That's a goddamn puppet or something.
Yeah, it looks horrible. That's the scene, too, where he's like, ah.
I mean, it looks ridiculous. It looks like Large Marge, which was supposed to be a joke anyway.
Yeah.
You know? So how are you supposed to be like, I mean, I could not watch that and not laugh because it's just so fucking ridiculous.
But weren't you touched at the end of it when he gave the people air?
I was. That was awesome. Mars has air now. Yeah. The little midget in the tutu is happy.
That's what I was thinking, too. Oh,
you know
God.
That bitch is doing conventions.
I know.
I think Sean Clark's ripping her.
Oh, shit.
Oh, God, it's the midget from Total Recall. Oh, my God. Maybe Sean can get cunt face.
The cunt face warrior? Yeah.
So... What do you think of? I actually just watched the old Blu-ray. You think the new one? Did you have the old one?
I did have the old one before they sent me this one too. And actually, it is a better transfer. I think that a couple of different companies that reviewed it that do like screenshots and things like that in their reviews actually showed like the comparisons, and it is like a much more clean.
Well, I know the original Total Recall is one of the very first Blu-rays that came out.
Yeah.
So, but this new one is the mind-bending edition.
It bent my mind. It
includes audio commentary with Schwarzenegger and Verhoeven, interview with Paul Verhoeven, making of featurette, models and skeletons, special effects of Total Recall, Imagining Total Recall documentary, a restoration comparison, and a trailer and photo galleries. So, Lionsgate actually has this one out right now, and like I said, it's $10 if you want to get a better mind-bending edition of Total Recall.
You got to have it. I mean, if you're an Arnold fan, it needs to be in your collection today. Motherfucker.
It's good stocking stuffer if you want to save it for Christmas.
I didn't know this either, man. Like, I don't know why. This is the first time I ever really looked at this. Did you know that Dan O'Bannon actually was one of the guys that wrote the screenplay?
I had no idea.
So the guy that wrote Alien and that actually, like, directed Return of the Living Dead is the guy that wrote or helped write the screenplay for this movie as well.
Wasn't Total Recall based on a book or something, though?
Yeah, it was based on a book by a short story by Philip K. Dick called We Can Remember It For You Wholesale.
Holy shit, baby. Philip K. Dick.
Philip Dick. Phil Dick.
Filthy Phil Dick. So that is it for the show this week. Next week, we're talking about more Arnold Schwarzenegger. I guess later on in his career, post T2.
We're going to talk about Last Action Hero now, motherfuckers. Yeah.
Some of these movies I actually need to rewatch. I actually want to rewatch End of Days again. That's one that I need to...
You're a fucking quiet boy!
Because End of Days... was his return. He was gone for a little while. I think he had like heart surgery or something. And that was his big movie back. Cause I remember when he promoted it. Do you remember this? He was on SmackDown promoting it and he helped Triple H or something win the world title back.
I do remember that. I gotta say though, I actually really like End of Days and I know that's not.
That's one of them, one of the HD DVDs that I got for like a penny when they were there.
I'd say so, yeah. It's not one of the ones that's like looked upon great by people.
Yeah, so, yeah, but I'm going to be catching up on some Arnold stuff because I'm kind of in the mood to watch that shit anyway. But until then, I am the Creepy Kentuckian.
I'm Uncle Bill.
And make no mistake about it, motherfuckers, we're the innovators of Horror Talk Radio. We're the creators of all that is good in this world.
We're the master and the ruler of the fucking world and of your dreams.
Yeah. Hear it, deadpit.com,
bitch.
Hey now, motherfuckers, put your hands up in the fucking air. It's After Dark, bitches. Midnight night, Saturday night, dip hit. Oh, suck it now. It's dip hit after dark, dip hit after dark. The creepy Kentuckian, motherfucker. Uncle Bill, motherfucker. Mama Jenny, motherfucker. Dip hit after fucking dark. Dip hit after dark, after dark, after dark, after dark. After dark, after dark, dip hit after dark, dark, dip hit after dark, after dark. Dip hit at the doctor, doctor, doctor. At the doctor, doctor, doctor. Dip hit at the doctor, doctor, doctor. Dip hit at the doctor, doctor, doctor. Dip hit at the doctor, doctor, doctor. At the doctor, doctor, doctor. Dip hit at the doctor, doctor, doctor. Dip hit at the doctor.